Hello, everybody out there in the internet. Welcome to Gameless Babble Z, episode number 423. I'm Chris Adams, Second Master, joined by
RPG Maniac 05. What was such a weird delay going on there?
And Traptical. And yes, it seemed slow.
Like, what are you doing?
So yeah, we've got some what you've been playing, a middle segment about the new genres that we think we'll see flood the market at E3.
They didn't want to do the other one. You guys missed out.
And the news. Man, all right. So I guess I'll go in reverse order of what I usually do when I'm like, oh, you know, Grand Turismo, Monster Hunter, whatever. As the end, I'll put those at the beginning. So Grand Turismo Sport, still chugging along every day, jumping in, doing my daily workout for the thing, mileage, getting the free car every day, hopefully getting new stuff, but not lately, no, just getting a bunch of not good stuff, so whatever, eventually. I mean, I'm almost to 20 million credits, and I think I can just, like, blow it on whatever, so, you know. But working my way back up to 20 million, that's not going to be a fun time, so whatever. Besides that, Monster Hunter World, I'm just logging in right now to do the, like, I haven't even been able to do the daily bounties, because they're having them with the spring or whatever festival.
Oh, yeah, the Blossom thing, yeah.
I just haven't had time, and I'm just not prioritizing it right now, because I'm just like, eh, you know, like, I kind of, like, the uptick to this festival, I was, like, already doing things and, like, killing a bunch of stuff that was, like, hard. I didn't feel like, I don't know, I guess I just didn't feel like trying, so I've just been logging in to need, like, the free item every day, so it's nothing too crazy. I haven't even tried Archtemper Nurgigante yet, so.
He's not fun. Spoiler alert.
Have not been able to be destroyed by him yet. Or test out my Archtempered Xenogiva build to try to finally get that layered armor and that armor set. And then take down, well, I guess, since I haven't fought him yet, but, you know, let's just say the poster monster, or the box art monster, since it's not the
flagship
bats. Besides those, did I play anything else? I mean, did I finish Red Dead last time? Yeah, that happened.
Yes, you did, because you were like, there's like 20,000 epilogues.
Yeah, that game was too long, in my opinion. I think I tried the online. It was same as GTA Online, pretty much, for just playing with other people, match made. Nothing, I think, special. I think they actually, it's out of beta now, but I haven't went back into, like, you know, bother with it, because why? It's like, you know, not my cup of tea, so whatever. I guess I'll try. Maybe I'll take it next week. Maybe I won't. We'll see. Besides that, I did play a bit of Destiny 2. So,
Ew!
So if you're wondering, Tekken, what happened? Well, basically, the Revelry was happening, and they had this exotic fusion rifle. But then that's, okay, here's the annoying thing, dude. It's like, I was reading all the crap in, like, the Bungie app and, like, the This Week of Bungie crap. And, like, I guess I must have glossed over it or not seen it, or just, like, since it's every week is a different thingy, like, I read it one week and, like, completely forgot about it. But, like, I was doing it, because in the thing, you basically had to, It was basically just like a stupid grind thing. And like, I was like, dude, I'm not doing this. And I was like, gamer, how bad is it? And he's like, it's a 3. And I was like, whatever. And so, basically to get the thing, you had to do a certain amount of things. There's like 7 or 10. I think there was like 10 total, but like 7. If you did 7, you got the thing. And if you got 10, you got like a thing that gave you a special emblem. But each little bounty, that's why when I said thing, I meant to say bounty. Like each little bounty was basically like, you know, do this, 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 and this, or do this many of this things. It's just like one of those stupid Destiny things of like a checklist of like, oh, do this this many times, blah, blah, blah. Or like, and every time you'd like get a new piece of armor for the Revelry, you'd have this ability buff that would like let your skills be more, your your cooldown on them be even faster. And then if you drink this little potion thingy that they had during that, it was like even, it'd be even more. So you could basically like buff your grenades, your class ability, or your melee. And then I do my grenades, obviously, because I like to throw grenades. And it's like super effective to just do that and kill stuff. But then it's like some of the bounties were like, while your thingy is active, but I didn't realize the first day that there's a cooldown on it. Like you take it and it like only works for a certain amount of time. You have to take it again, but you have like an infinite amount of it. So it's like, why didn't they just let you take it once? La, 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 Bungie, Disney, la, 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 whatever. So it's
they
like.
They want you to multitask or something. I don't know, man.
So it's like
it's Destiny. I'm still trying to stop playing it, but you keep doing it anyway.
No infinite potions. And then like something happened where I was like doing one of the bounties and like I misread it and it was like, dude, I thought I did it because I drank the potion, didn't know it was on a cooldown and it was gonna run out, and I was like, oh man, I totally probably got this by now. Like checked my progress and I was like, not 100%, probably like 25%. I don't know. It's like whatever. It wasn't 100%. So I was like, F this game, F, just rage. And then, you know, it's like, it just brings me back. It's like what I, yeah, like Herbert, you said, man, I just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in. And it's like, just all over again. It's all over again. It's like, you know, Groundhog Day, but like more terrible edition. So, you know, that was like, you know, mistake number two was like the whole, like, oh, okay, I was doing this one, but I needed the buff on, so I didn't have it done. And like, I think it was like doing strikes or something stupid. It's just like, you know, one of the things in the game where it's like, do this thing because there's so few things to do, but do it over and over and like this many times, then you get the thing, whatever. So it's like, okay, fine, whatever. Did the thing. And just like, oh, I didn't do the thing, obviously, because I didn't have the thing on because I didn't drink the potion, but it ran out. And so now I got to do it all over again. And it just, you know, it just escalated. But it's like, dude, I just want this gun. I just want to get this gun. It's like, you know, this was just like a trial on my patience because I was like, dude, Gamerset was a three. I just kept thinking to myself, Gamerset was a three. I mean, that being said, it wasn't that bad. However, it was like the traditional Destiny garbage of like, here's a thing. Do the thing, do it like 20, 30 times, boom, you're good. It's like, nobody wants to do that. That's not fun. What? You can just come up with a better system. Like, you can just do Electronical Says and make it awesome. Cause they just don't have to make awesome there anymore. I guess they don't have that Bioware magic, dude. They can't just like pump out the awesome. But like, you know, besides that, I ended up getting it like the last day is like, or like the last week. Cause I another thing that has been happening at my work is like, you know, I, for whatever reason, it's been crazy days. We're just not getting off on time. And it's just like, oh, like even more of a grind than usual. And it's just like this, no, my gaming time has been reduced. So now it's like, great. Now I have like no time to play anything. And it's like, except for like the 2 days a week where I'm not working. And it's just like, limited time. What am I going to play? So it's like trying to like scrounge up time to like get other things done. And it's just like, dude, I have no time to play anything. And I was like, well, I was already on this path of like the revelry, and then I kind of just like snowballed into, well, I might as well just keep making progress on it, and like whenever I have time, I guess I can just go back and play it, because that's kind of what this game is. It's like it just takes all your time and like sucks it out, and it's like, well, I have a bit of time. What could I do? I could put it towards that. So like in my brain, it's like the seed was already planted in like, you know, my previous habits, I guess, returned. A minor relapse, we could say. I would say whatever, totally not a relapse. I wasn't like playing. I mean, yeah, yesterday I played 14 hours, whatever. It was like a totally different circumstance. I was in Iron.
Hours?
I had to get, I was so close to the cap, guys. I was like 680. I was like, there's no way. I mean, that's the other thing. It's like, I was playing during the revelry, and like, I was actually like going up. It felt like, you know, pretty decently every time I was playing, or every day, or every week. I think it was every week, so I wasn't playing every day. I was playing like every week, and I was like, oh, I seem to be going up pretty decently from 650 to 700. That's not, it's not feeling as, you know, stiff of a climb as it used to be. And then like, you know, yesterday I was like, I'm 680. I only got 20 more. I've been going up like 15 per week. I can do it. I can feel it, man. I can get this. I can beat 700 and then be like, you know, at the top of the mountain again and have sweet drops and not be like, oh, it's not max level though. I have to infuse it. And then, didn't happen because I got the 696 or something, and I was like, oh, I'm bummed out now, because like the game was like holding my hand and like, come with me, Tekken, come with me. And I got like 690, oh, and it was like
your imagination.
What RPG?
I was making a Willy Wonka reference because you said come with me, so
it felt appropriate because there's candy. Because there's candy.
Oh, there was candy, but the candy was a lie because it was like, ha ha, Tekken, we're not taking you to paradise. We're taking you to hell. And I was like, no, I'm back in the BDSM bungee shop. And they threw me in a dungeon and abused me for like 14 hours.
Like Willy Wonka.
And I was like, I knew it couldn't be this simple. I knew it couldn't be this good of a climb. I should have known just to come back next week when it reset again and I'd have to do it all over again. But it's like, why should I wait when I can just keep playing and get so close? And then today it's like, okay, dude, that was last week. Oh, that was yesterday. Sorry. That was, ooh, man, time flies when you're getting
not having abused. Fun.
Yes. And, you know, so I'm like, okay, 696, 690, whatever. I mean, I'm 699. I just need the arms. And it's like, I feel like the game should know I need the arms. And it gave me some effing arms. And it just gave me effing arms. And I'm like, you know, the air quote smart loot system that they have in place is still broken. I'm like, I'm sure they're out there. I think it's still broken. You know, I don't know how many years. It's been like a year since this game came out and maybe more, whatever, almost a year because it came out, I think, last year. Don't trust it. And it's like, you know, I don't really care anymore because it's like after the redacted or the Regal, I don't even know what it's called. It's the fancy smancy, whatever the next thing he is with the ooh, red and new raid. We'll see how awesome it is. Probably won't be, whatever. You know, I'm done after I get my Triumph t-shirt. I'm walking away and I'm free. There's not going to be any more of this. You're not going to have Tekken.
Are you sure?
The background.
Sure that's going to happen because, yeah, we've heard this a lot. We've heard this a lot.
Hey, I don't remember what I said last time, but it's like, you know, there is one more raid, so it's like my raid team will need me, and it's like, you know, I can't just like abandon them. And
of
it's like,
you can. It's not hard.
It's not that hard.
It's yeah. It's like after yesterday. It's like that whole thing. It's like I came full circle again, and I was like, this is why I stayed away all these weeks, all these months. Because it's been like months when I haven't played, and it's like, you know. I think there is just like an itch on my brainstem of like, come back to Ken. Come back to the light.
Because basically Destiny 2 is like an unmarked van with a guy with candy in it. And then you're that kid that parents just didn't care. Because, yeah. Yeah.
I need to put together the Tekken Destiny supercut. When Tekken meant Destiny.
I mean, that being said, also, I was between games. And like, there's nothing coming out until September, maybe. And I was like, there's nothing to play anyway. It's like, I might as well take this nice, nice vacation, side digression, aimless adventure, play some Destiny. And I did. And I regretted it. It was like, I don't drink or do drugs, but it was like, I imagine like a really bad hangover you get when you do drugs. And it's like the same thing. So it's like, whatever. Just
don't think you get hangovers when you do drugs. I think you just get addicted.
Oh. Well,
and then you just get strung out and kind of, you know, have to have it all the time. So, yeah, drugs are bad, kids, by the way. I don't know if we need to say that, but, you know, considering the state that Tekken's in, watch out for unmarked vans, kids, because apparently they're very alluring.
And then, attractive. And then, also, you know, I'm going to revisit Borderlands like in its entirety of the timeline. That's not going to take very long. But then I do kind of see like the vision, man. It's like people keep saying good things about it. And I'm like warming up to it, but I'm like, oh, I've had so much Destiny, so many bad experiences. I'm like,
oh, yeah, but Borderlands was there before Destiny was.
And it's like, before I go back to the King of the Throne of co-op games that, you know, the future king that never arrived in my prophecy that was never fulfilled, because, oh man, how wrong was I about that? Ugh. So it's sad. Like, before I go back to the promised land, it's like, let's try one more alternative to the garbage games as a service model and see if it's not terrible. And then, you know, And then that's it.
If it'll work out for you.
If it's not great, which probably won't be, but then people say great things. It's like, maybe I get hooked again. It's like, do I want to get hooked? Should I just stop? Yeah, but it's like, it looks fun. It's like I might like it. Why would I deny myself? And it's like, why do I want to do this myself? It's like a second job. I don't need that in my life. I don't know. It's like, oh, see, this is the problem. This is the problem. It's like, I already know. It's like, oh, I just need, like, you know, the first hit. And it's like, oh, I just, like, I already said, man, you're just strung out all the time. And it's like, oh, out of vision. It'll be the same thing. And you're like, oh, man, out of vision. I mean, maybe it's not terrible. There's a possibility. I mean, that being said, it's like, that's the problem. Like, you know, after so much love and hate with Destiny, it's like, I can already see myself like, division two. It's like, I can't even like imagine a scenario where it's like, I am not like antagonistic or just, negative or, you know, that way towards the game. It's like, that's just weird to me. It's like, Destiny has completely ruined me of like not liking things. It's like, oh,
as it should have.
See how terrible it is, because it's probably going to be terrible. It's like, and then, but then in the back of my mind, I'm like, well, at least I didn't get Anthem. So there's that. So, I mean, for every one game that I do play, that's like, oh, or I guess I haven't played any other games like Destiny, because it's like, it's got me. And it's like, you know, tainted the waters with its oil spill of experience. And I'm like, well, this looks like Destiny. I'll wait and see. And then so far, there's besides Division 2, it's like, oh, well, how'd that go? Anthem, Fallout 76, yeah, how'd that work out for you? So it's like, well, yeah, good. It makes me know that you could dodge your bullets by just not playing them. So, but then Division 2 came along, and people were like, oh, it's not that bad, so guess we'll see. And I'll be like, haha, Destiny 2, I've moved on. I found something better. And then there's like the trailer for the raid. It's all 8 people or whatever. And it's like, oh man, that's cool. It's like, oh. But
there's matchmaking for it. I think you need to know 7 other people.
Well, that could be a problem. Because, yeah.
You have Tropical.
I mean, we're on the internet. I'll just be like, hey, internet, something, something.
How's that worked out for you in the past, Tekken?
We'll two-man it.
It's gonna be disastrous.
It could be hard,
guys.
But I think we can handle
disaster-rific.
So yeah, besides that, the reason I went back to Destiny 2 because I didn't have anything to play is because I played Days Gone and I finished it. Oh. And I gotta say, it's pretty good. I really liked it. I haven't had a chance to check out any of the reviews. I heard it was mixed, but I would say I disagree. I mean, I didn't play it the first couple days before the patches fixed whatever jank was in there. And then I was playing it the day that, like, the patch came out that, like, broke things, but they, like, what's that word? They rolled it back to, like, the patch before that. I think that's the first I played it. So I hadn't actually experienced any, like, the jankness that, like, that had caused or in the game before. I mean, there are, like, 2 instances in the game where, like, weird stuff happened, but it wasn't anything that... Well, one was like weird. I haven't sharebutted it yet. I got like stuck in a wall and I was like floating and like I couldn't defend myself and I just like was floating there getting shot and I got killed. And the other one was like some character model just like loaded in weird where it's like just their head and like their cigarette that they're smoking and like nothing else. Oh. And then like the cigarette like flicked off, came back to them because I guess, you know, didn't load their arm. But then eventually it loaded in. It's just like that weird like 30 seconds before that, or it was less than 30 seconds, but like, you know, I'm just saying it was had loaded and it was fine. It was like, oh, that was weird. But I think I had something else happen like that too, but it was just like, no. I mean, 3 examples, really. It's like 2 of them were just like character model stuff, like not loading. And like one was like the word jank getting stuck in the wall. I was like, and besides that, you know, just saying nothing substantial in my experience. That being said, this game, pretty good. Pretty effing good, guys. Like I would give it a personal recommendation because I really like what they did. They basically had the whole survival thing going on. That was cool. Like, I had not played a lot of the whole Enemy Coos, Don't Die, Don't Eat Anybody games. Scrounging for supplies. It's really interesting, really, because it has a Last of Us vibe and feel, but it is open world, so it has, like, a different, like, thing going on there that it's, like, molded onto. Stealth is in their game as well, so it's like, you know, RPG. Be wary, because there's stealth sequences. I mean, they aren't that hard or bad.
I can never play it.
But it is like a little baked in, because you can just sneak around at any time. Sneak up behind anybody and just like triangle, stab them, it's great. And the instant kill, it's great.
Never play it.
One of the weird things, or like one of the few, like there's a couple weird things with the game, because like the crafting system, you can't just like buy supplies. You have to basically find the material to make the things in the world. You can't just like buy it off a vendor. So that's like kind of annoying later on in the game.
Apocalypse Tekken. Mm-hmm. I mean, would you expect?
I mean, that? It makes sense, yeah, in that regard. But I was just like, you know, kind of it just becomes a inconvenience.
Stores are going to be open when our infrastructure falls apart, and be like, oh yeah, come on in. We have everything you need.
And it's also neat because it has the similar thing to like Dead Rising, where it's like nighttime, the zombies get more aggressive and more numerous and more powerful, or just like compared to the daytime. Cause daytime, they basically like go inside to hibernate in buildings and stuff during the day, which is kind of cool because it reminds me of I Am Legend. Yeah.
And then, like, so nighttime, are they harmed by the light though, or no, are they just...
They're just less numerous. Oh. And then, what else? It's just really cool, dude. Like, there's a lot there. Cause the game is like longer than I thought it would be, even though I did finish it in like a couple weeks, but it was really good. I very much enjoyed it. Deacon St. John, really cool character. I would say he is equal parts a-hole, smartass, and, badass. Cause he like does some bad things, but it's like, seeing what he has been through, you can like kind of see, okay, I can see like why he would do that in that situation. And like sometimes when he like does things, it's like, oh, Deacon, oh, just like, you know, it's like kind of good, does bad things, but is a good person at the core. When it needs to get done, he will effing do it. Doesn't effing care. Like this is, I'm not gonna say what happens, but like there's later on in three fourths of the way through. I don't guess that's how far it is. Whatever. It's towards the end of the game. Or not towards the end, but like later on in the game, something cool happens where it's like, you know, he's like scheming the scheme to like do this thing, but instead he does something else, and it's like, ooh, Deacon, that was very nice. I applaud your chaotic good skills in this to kill one to save the rest. He didn't kill anybody. Okay, he did, but it wasn't like one person. It was like a lot, and it's like, whoa, dude, that was extreme. What? Oh, that was awesome. And just, man, made me just be like, yeah, Deacon, you're a cool dude in my book. And just.
You like murderers now.
Cool. They were bad people, RPG. They deserved cool. It. They had it coming.
And his words, but I mean, how do you know they were bad though? Were they just bad based on the circumstances, or were they actually bad? Because I mean, you can't say it's because they're murdering people because he's murdering people. So I mean,
go around and carve people. So yeah, they deserved it.
Yeah, but he was going around killing people too. So he's just as bad.
You have to play it. You have to play it. Sometimes you got to break some eggs to make an omelet, and that was a very delicious omelet. F the eggs. Let's see. A lot of cool, like, just dialogue too. There's like this part where he's talking to, I can't remember who specifically, but he's like reminiscing about the olden times. It's also really cool, just like the setting, because it's like, you don't get a lot of games in Oregon, and it's like a lot of very varied, topography and, whatchamacallit. What is the there's words for that, but I can't think of it. But like, you know, the regional setting is very interesting because there's like desert, high desert, mountains, forest, a lot of cool stuff going on that, like, you know, it's not usually in other games where it's like, oh, just a bunch of, or it's all jammed together in like this really small area, so mm-hmm. Or in the same area, I should say. So, you know, but like I was saying, like he has this like cool line where he's talking, because basically you see him at the outset, and like the game starts off kind of jarring though, because it starts here at like day one, and like it jumps forward like 2 years, so you don't really get to play through the day one scenario. I mean, I'm not upset about it. It's just like the way that it was like implemented in the game, it felt very like it kind of like, you could kind of feel like they kind of like maybe cut that out, because it's basically just cutscenes, and it's like, something happens, you have a cutscene, something happens in the cutscene. So it's like, it kind of made me feel like maybe there's a part here that you probably played before and they just like cut it out because it wasn't as good or it didn't work. And there's also like parts later on where it's like you have flashback sequences where that happens, where it's like cut, cutscene, or it's like the game play was like probably like removed because they just couldn't make it work. I'm fine with that, but just like, it kind of makes it like the pacing on that part is kind of like weird, but it's whatever. But it's kind of cool because like that's his whole thing of like, you know, he's been through 2 years of this. So it's just like, it's like a really interesting like perspective on the apocalyptic, the, like, you know, zombie apocalypse. Cause it's like, you know, he's been through like living this way for 2 years, and then like how he sees it and like how things have happened. And he's like, you know, in the beginning, there were a lot of ex-cons, and police and military people, because like really those are the only people that could make it. Cause like, you know, fighting and that type of stuff, it's like everybody else is kind of just fodder. It's like, oh man. So you didn't see any office, you know, office workers, you know, stuff like that, pencil pushers. It's like, oh, I could, that makes sense. That yeah. Interesting point. Cause he's like talking to somebody and he's like, you know, we used to play a game called Who Were You or Who Were They? And he's like, you know, who were they before this all happened? And cause he like runs into this person that's a complete jerk and he's like, yeah, I don't believe this guy. I think he's full of crap. And, man, that's your thing, dude. It's like, there are some really good payoffs with storyline in this game. It's like, there's just some, it's like some, like slow building and then like smolders tension and it's just like, whoosh, just like on fire and you're just like, oh, so good. And it's just like, oh, it doesn't get resolved. And it's like, oh, it comes back later. And it's like, oh, they did resolve it. Oh, and it's just like, man, it's just like, I think that's what it was. Is like this game, like, it was like the low bar for me as far as like the first prior stuff from PlayStation, like Sony coming out. And I was like, eh, we'll see. And then I guess like because of that, I undersold it to myself. So like when I played it, it like kept overperforming. And I was like, man, it just like keeps going and going and going. And then like the story is like too, is like also really good in that respect. It's like, there's also like something else I could talk about if it's like super splurred and like would ruin things. So it's like, but it's like, it's really cool that they do it with something. It's kind of, it's really, really cool they do. It's like, you know, they like give it a it's like on a continuum of like, why can't you just let it go? Why can't you let it go? But then it's on a continuum and you see that the reason Deacon can't let it go is it's his reason to keep going. It's like, oh, that's so brilliant. Aww. That's so brilliant. Oh, I didn't say it. And it's like, oh, the more you play, you're just like, man, I hope this works out for this dude. And it's like, oh, will it work out. It's like, oh man, it's just like, that's the cool thing. It's like towards the end of the game, it's like you don't know which way it's going to go because there have been like lefts and rights. There have been twists and turns. It doesn't always work out for Deacon. So it's like, you don't know what's going to happen. And it's just like, it can go either way. And that's what's so great about it. It's like, man, it's like, it was like good or bad. I was satisfied. And I was like, Days Gone, you're on the list now. Cause it was a good game. I recommend it. And it's all the marks. And towards the beginning, like the first, I'd say first like 25% or first 30% of the game, like, it can kind of be annoying when you keep running out of gas on your bike and like having to like refuel it. That kind of got to me a bit. Like, cause any other game when I play open world, I will not fast travel. But in this game, after I kept running out of fuel, I was like, I don't effing care.
I'm fast traveling everywhere.
A, that, and then B, everything, all caps, everything wants to kill you because it is like not safe at all. Like there's marauders, bandits, the freakers. There's animals, so it's like got a bit of red there where it's like, oh, that's the other thing, dude. It ain't just like normal red. It is like mutated, evolved red of like, oh, just normal wolf. Nope, it's infected. It's even faster than your bike and can like jump on you and knock you off of it. And it's like, yeah, how's that make you feel, Tekken? You're never safe. That was it. It's like after that happened, I was like, guess what? I'm fast traveling everywhere because nowhere is safe and I'm kind of scared of this game.
It's exciting.
Inside.
So, and do they explain how the freakers happen, or is it just one of those mysteries where you kind of just like,
thing. That's not a mystery. It's not a mystery. There's a, they, okay, they explain it, and then it's cool because like throughout the world, there's like little, what are the thingies? Like the little like audio logs. Cause you come upon these little, labs that, I think they're called like Nest Labs or something.
That's but, always like, a bad sign.
But you go into them and then they have these little like logs of like whatever like that thing was at. And it's just like, dude, it's so cool too because like their take on the zombies because they're freakers is like completely different. It's like, you know, they don't, it's not just all about like eating brains, they're just like eating things. It's just like, they are just basically that's the other thing, dude. It's like there's times you have to fight the hordes of them and it is like so satisfying to like to take them down. Like, cause they are so hard. They're just like so many. It's like, if you were like I guess it's like a barracuda fighting a sea of fish or something. It's like, it's just like, you know, there's so many of them and there's like one of you and they just keep coming and they just don't stop. And it's just like, what? And just, I sure been like the first one I did and I forgot to upload it, but man, it is intense stuff. Like that was like, and that was like a mini horde, like the first one that you do, and like the rest of them are just like so intense. It's just like, it's so good. Like it's not at that same level of like that first E3 demo that they showed, because it's changed over time, obviously, but like, it is really a fun experience, and it's very satisfying to do that because you don't start off with like awesome weapons too, so it's like kind of like arm up. So it's like once you get to that level, you can like take them on. Because sometimes you like have to go around them or just like avoid them. Because it's like, dude, I can't do this right now. It's like they're gonna destroy me. But slowly as you progress in the game, like get more abilities, like better health and better focus and stamina and stuff. It's like, oh yeah, because those three things are tied to your not leveling up, but like when you unlock or not unlock, but like you have to. You basically have to repower the lab thingies, and like when you're inside of them, it'll let you get something that lets you get one of your three abilities, your core abilities, which is health, stamina, or focus, and then improve that. But like once you've got them up enough, and then like you've been armed enough, and you've got like better weapons, which doesn't happen for a while, dude, because I didn't get an LMG for like a while in that game. And I was like, dude, if I have to take on one of these without one, it's like not gonna happen. So. Oh, I mean, yeah, this guy's really good, man. Okay, speaking of the bikes, since I mentioned that like a while ago, but like that to me is like something that had not occurred in my brain until I played this game, and it completely just changes the way I see, like if I had to survive in that way in like one of these things, like I would not go for a car. Like playing this game, it's like you see a car as a death trap. Like after this, like I'm like, dude, I have never I would never go for a car in like apocalyptic setting, because like there's so many ways you could get trapped. And like when you're in the car,
too large for one, and then yeah. Gas like after, consumption.
Yeah, it's like after playing this, it's like, I had not considered that before of like motorcycle over car in the apocalyptic scenario. That is very interesting. Just like, you've enlightened me, Days Gone, and just so good. There's so many good things about this game. So many good things. Like just like the end, yeah, like even the graphics, just like amazing. Like in the draw distance when you're in the mountains and like you're looking off into the forest and just like seeing all the different terrain. That's the word, the terrain, the different like very terrain. It's just like, it's a very pretty game. It's just so many cool things. And it's got like weather stuff going on. a lot of cool weather effects. So good. It's so good. It's such a good game. I don't understand why people were like kind of on it, but I very much enjoyed it, and it was. Really, I mean, okay. Also, it does things a lot different though from like other open world games, where like, because like usually on the map it'll be like, here's the next thing, go to this thing, blah 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 blah. But what it does brilliantly also is, like this even though RPG's like not gonna play because there's stealth, like this would work to its benefit, okay, because it doesn't do the usual thing where it's like a map with a ton of things to like get sidetracked by. It basically only like one at a times it. All the like the side missions and objectives. So it's like you can really only do like one or two story missions at a time, or like one or two side missions at a time. It doesn't like have a map with like 50 blips of like go here, do this thing, do this side thing. Oh, it's not the main thing, but get lost in the world and be completely forget about the main story that you were totally focusing on like 10 minutes ago before threw you out here into the wilderness. So it does a good job of breadcrumbing you through the experience to like not. Get too overwhelmed by like all the stuff that there is to do, that you can stay focused and not sidetracked. I thought that was really brilliant, like as far as like the design. Because at first I was like, that's kind of weird how they have like a percentage checklist style on the side missions and stories and stuff. But then I was like, the more I played, I was like, oh, it makes sense, because like if you don't have that much stuff here, you can't get sidetracked and just be like wandering off and doing whatever that. It's like, oh. So I thought that was super cool.
Oh, thinking about it now, how does that game work in terms of like an ending, I guess? Because I mean, it's like they're in an apocalypse kind of. So it's like how do you like does he have like a specific story that he's trying to resolve that happens for him, or is just like
yes.
It kind of just
there is a story with him that he is personally trying to. Basically that like he has something that is not resolved that he thinks is not okay, I'm trying to like think how to say this without giving away, but yeah, there's like something that he's searching for, and he's like trying to get that he's like not 100% sure. But then the closer he gets to the truth, it's like it can go either way. It's like, oh, and then that's the thing is like he's had such like a crap run throughout the game of like you don't know which way it's gonna go. Like the farther in you get of like, what happened? Is he gonna find what he's looking for? Is he not? What happened? I don't even know. It's like oh, and then after that happens because like you do get to the. It's like kind of cool because like you kind of get to the end of that thread or that arc, but then it like dovetails into like even more stuff of like, oh snap, of like what's going on here. And then, but like by that time you've gone through so many different encampments, which is also a cool thing because each encampment is a different scenario of like what you would do in a post-apocalyptic setting like this. Like the first one you stumble on is, what's the first one? You're basically like the survivor group in like the woods by this river and they're just like out there. Survivor manning it and just like living off the land in like wilderness. And then like the second encampment you come to is this like lady who's running basically like a prison work release thing. It's really crazy.
I'm working on
as far as like if you're a survivor, you live there, but you have to work to like get supplies and like eat and all this crap. It's like basically everybody has to pull their own weight. And then like,
that makes sense.
But the way that the game does it, like, makes it seem like she's a slaver. Cause, like, every survivor that you send to her has to work for her. So it's like, you kind of feel bad every time that you rescue someone. And you're like, yeah, well, but there's a camp. You won't die, but you have to, like, do. Oh, that's the thing is, like, basically, yeah, them like, at their camp, they're basically, like, digging all their, like, crops and stuff. So it's like, you have to do, like, hard manual labor. But, like, you know, it's like, as opposed to the alternative.
I just wanted to say, because I was like, think about it. It's like, in this type of scenario, is it really that bad? Because it's like, well, you could be out there with, you know, hordes of freakers trying to murder you. So there's that. So.
Yeah. And then like the third encampment is kind of just like, you know, diplomacy in the setting is like, could it, can it work? It's like the because like the main person is just like, I'm just gonna parlay with everybody and like have a treaty and like truce, man. We're not gonna kill anybody if you don't kill our people. So you know, just be cool, dudes. And then the fourth one was really great. It was really like the best one because I was like, because like I kind of had it figured out. Like the moment I got there, I was like, okay, what's going on here? This is not. There's got to be more to this because it's basically like a military outpost. And it's like a local militia before, like after everything had gone down. So they're just like a county militia. They're not really like an actual military branch, like military officers and all that stuff. It's just like just people that like were volunteered and just surviving and like the structure of that, like surviving in that setting. And like you have the dude above like all of them who's just very, very zealous when his views. And like at the end of every day, he has a speech and you can like go and listen to it. And it's just so off the effing wall. And like, you just know he's crazy or just like, just out there. And it just gets worse and worse. It's just great. And like the moment he started talking, I was like, okay, is this going to be one of those like, cause he started like quoting like all this biblical scripture. And I was like, oh, this isn't going to go well. I'm pretty sure this is going to be one of those scenarios where it's basically like, people aren't, or like religion itself is not bad, but what people do in the name of religion, sometimes yeah, bad. It's like, by the end of that scenario, it's like, yep, this guy's gotta be stopped. He's gotta, someone needs to do something, cause, kinda, yeah. Genocide and all these things in the name of religion, not the best. Yeah, okay. You're not a good person anymore, person. So, you're on the list now. But, yeah, that was really cool too. Just like, you know. All the different scenarios of like how people would survive in this out there setting. And then it's cool because like the way that they describe like the hordes as just like a marauding, or not a marauding, but like just like a wave of, you know, mutated humanity that just like goes through and like just consumes and eats and destroys everything. And just to see people survive that, like A, that, and then B, like all their stories of like what happened, because there's a lot of NPCs that like when they're like if you're not talking to them that have like just background dialogue of like what happened in the before time and it's all just like nightmare fuel of like of because like way later on like someone says something about like, you know, in the first 2 days everything east of the Mississippi was like gone or like overrun in 2 days or something crazy. I was like, wow, just so like it like lets you know that like this was a very fast moving scenario or just a fast moving thing that happened, and like people didn't have time, and just like everything just like got, it was like somewhat overnight, just like just really bad off. And it was like on a global scale too. You also like find that out, because that didn't happen until like really towards the end. Like you find out like just the scale of like how bad it was. It's just like, wow. So because throughout like a lot of the game, I'm like, okay, is this like only local? Is this like on a state level? Is it on a national level? It's like, oh, it's global. So it's like, I'm really hoping that they continue on in this series and it's not just like a one off, because I feel like there's a lot of material here to like mine as far as like all the different encampments and like stuff like that, as far as like, you know, setting and like, if you were hold up XYZ, how would you deal with this? It's like a lot of cool things that could be done in that regard, as far as like, you know, if you're in the mountains, if you're by the coast, if you're, you know, yada, 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 just insert something. And it's like, boom, you're on planet Earth and this happens, because that's what happened. And then like also A, that, and then B, like throw in like the local wildlife and like what you would do to fend it off. Because I got to the end of like one of the story missions, and I was like, cause usually it's just like, you know, get to the end, there's a cutscene. And then like out of nowhere, it's like, fight the bear or something. And I was like, wait, what? And I was like, or survive the bear or something. And I was like, oh, so not like just randomly fight off this.
He's like, come at me, bro.
Boss fight with a bear. And I was like, this, and like, but that's the thing, because it's a survival game. I had basically like spent all my ammo getting back to like where I was going with the NPC that I was like escorting. So it's like kind of an escort mission at that part. Gross. And then, but not like really, because it wasn't that bad. But then I had basically used all my ammo and I had like nothing. And I'm like, how am I supposed to kill this thing? And I was like, what? So that was just, I think that's like what I, not having played a lot of the survival games outside of survival horror, like I thought it did a really good job of taking all that, like I said, it feels very, like a lot of the elements from like Last of Us, where you're just always scounging for materials and just supplies, and like you're always low for the most part, it feels like, until towards the end when you finally get like more and more skills, because there's three skill trees and you get the skill points as you get XP for like doing stuff. But at the beginning, man, it is brutal. Like the beginning to the middle is just like, ah, like once you get over that hump though, it just gets so much more enjoyable, and you're just like, I can take, okay, well, you never feel like you can take on anything, because it just, if you haven't upped your health, you die fast too. That's the thing. Cause like, if you get mobbed, you can take, I mean, you can carry a lot of healing items, and then like, once you get that up, you can like carry more, but it's not, it's like, I feel like it was always, it never felt like it was a, walk in the park. That was it too. Like, you know, I always felt like I was always like pacing myself for like what was right around the corner, and not just like cakewalking it all the way through. Like, got it. Mm-hmm. Boom, 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 headshot. Got everything. Ha ha. So. And oh yeah, that's the other cool thing, is like they keep throwing new enemy types at you as well, all the way through. So yeah, man, Days Gone. It's a really, really good game. I recommend it, and just don't think it got enough praise. I don't understand the what. I mean, maybe there were like a lot of jank in it before it got patched, but I personally enjoyed it. I thought it was great. I thought it was a nice experience. I enjoyed the characters, the setting, the aha of like, oh, motorcycles over cars in this scenario, because that would have been me, not on a motorcycle before, but now I'm like, haha, if that ever happens, well, I guess I gotta learn how to ride a motorcycle now, so I can like not get just stuck in it. That's the other thing, is like there's like parts where you go through tunnels and you just see cars are just like piled up of like, oh, exhibit A, don't be in a car, because this will happen. Or just like, if the, yeah, it's just like, yeah. There's like so much like reinforcement throughout the game of like, don't get in a car, dude. Just like, is it trap? Cars are trap. Cars are a death trap in the zombie apocalypse. That's what I learned from Days Gone. One of the things. But yeah. Really good game. And that's all I've been playing. I really enjoyed that game.
I played stuff. I opened a shrink wrap. And oh, dear. It was a new game. And I played through it. It was Mortal Kombat 11.
Yay, Tropical actually played a game.
Yeah, it was really cool. I played through the entire story mode and then started playing around with like the crypt, their like collection area. And the
one that costs thousands of dollars to unlock.
The crypt is always weird to me. It's just like you're wandering around this spooky place, but nothing spooky happens, because that's not the point. The point is to give you somewhere to spend all of the coins you get playing story mode and playing, you know, playing all the other modes. And so it, yeah, it's like, it's a weird kind of thing, but it's like, for an unlock system, I guess it's pretty fun. There's always like, I don't remember the previous ones very well, but this one, there's sort of secret things. Like, you have to go to certain areas of the crypt, and then you'll get items that allow you to open yet more other areas of the crypt. And I think you unlock all the, like, customization and, like, concept art. Just
but does all it, the ha- but it has stuff, anything other there? Than just, like, costumes and art stuff, or is there like
I think like actual fatalities and moves and stuff are in there too.
Ew.
Because each character has, I'm pretty sure, multiple fatalities, and you only start with one, and you have to go around the crypt and unlock them all. And I guess like the contents of the crypt are all randomized, so like everyone, once you unlock everything in the crypt, everyone gets the same thing, but going through it, you get different, like, things are placed in different places than other people. But yeah, I don't really, I haven't gone through most of it yet. There's I did find like a place where you could like reset. It says something like it'll restore the treasures of the crypt or something, and I'm like, oh, is this gonna like reset everything, and then I have to go through and open all the chests again and they will have different stuff?
No, it's all the same stuff. It's just the challenge of doing it all over again.
Story mode. So the trailer showed that there was like sort of a time travel aspect of it, and we had talked about how it's like, it was cool how they rebooted it in 9 the way they did that. And it would be neat if they didn't do that here and just sort of like, oh, time to reboot again. And I will say it's kind of both.
What?
So I can't tell you one part, but like the part where in the trailer where it showed like old versions of characters meeting young versions of characters reminded me a lot of that storyline where Beast brought like the original X-Men into the future.
Yeah, all new X-Men.
Yeah, it was. It felt like that.
Oh, and it's like, so this happens, guys. It's like, oh, crap.
I become evil.
Nightmares. Just nightmares. It's like, so Gene, you might not want to talk to anybody because a lot of stuff happens.
Why is there a statue of me in front of the school?
about that.
Grade school. Oh.
So named
after me?
Yeah. It's like,
because you were such, or you're such a great mutant. Why'd you say was? What?
So yeah, a lot of it feels like that. I was like, oh, this is pretty cool. They changed up the combat system, like. So in the previous game, there was X-ray moves, right? Where you pulled both triggers and then, or you had to have a certain amount of bar
things,
right? And then it would do like an X-ray move, which was essentially a way for you to get back in the game if you had fallen behind and like take a huge chunk of the other guy's life. In this one now, it's something called Fatal Blows, which is essentially the same thing, except that now you can only use it once a match. So if there's like 2 rounds in one match, you can only, if you use it in the first round, like you don't get another one in the second round.
It's just for your whole match then.
Yeah. And instead of like building meter to get it, it's your health, once it drops below, I think it's like 30%, then you can use Fatal Blow to like get back into the match. But then if like it's round one and it's really close and you finish it there, then round two, you don't get another one. And potentially like you get hit by your opponent's Fatal Blow. And then, so it's a bit more, it's still like a get out of jail free type thing, except, you only get one of them instead of like being able to build up multiple ones throughout the course of one match.
I mean, I guess, because, I mean, so yeah, if you use your Fatal Blow thing and then wouldn't that basically trigger the person having the conditions to use
stairs on you?
Yeah. So my strategy was always like, I'm not going to use the fatal blow unless they are already in fatal blow territory, because that will take them out. And then I will have won a round. Yeah, that's, I mean, that's pretty much it. But then, yeah, then I would have to be careful, like, the next round. Say, well, now they have a fatal blow. It's okay if they hit me and, like, I'm above 30%. Like, I think it does, I'm pretty sure every single time I hit someone with it and they had less than 30% health, then they were, like, it was a knockout.
So it does at least 30%.
Yeah.
Which,
the fatal blows, they're just like, when you see them, it's like, how is that not a fatality? Because crazy. Like,
some of these trailers, it's like you would see them doing these things, and then it would be like, finish him. It's like, wait, that wasn't it?
Pretty much. Like, that's how it feels. Like, X-ray blows in the previous one, like, you know, it was like breaking bones and stuff, and yeah, I guess it didn't make sense. Like, the way I always thought about it was that I guess Mortal Kombat contestants they're all muscle. Those bones are just for show, so even if they're broken, their muscles will hold them up.
Literally, not how the body works. That's,
yeah,
cool.
Let's say
it could. It could.
Fine.
But then,
that is not how. I can tell you for a fact that's not how bodies work.
This one is like, oh my gosh, it's not really X-ray attacks anymore. It's just like,
basically,
you are killing that guy. You
can use during the game.
Yeah, and then it's like, and then it says, finish him. You're just like, it's like, really?
Even more?
How?
What else can I do?
So a lot of them don't do like X-ray bone breaking things. It just looks like you're piercing through them with just all manners of stuff. And but X-rays aren't gone entirely. So they've changed it so that occasionally certain moves will do like X-ray, like close-ups. They do more damage because of the types of moves that they are. So, for example, like the uppercut. Usually when you do the uppercut, it's just, you know, it's a Mortal Kombat uppercut. It's the thing you see all the time. But now, if you connect with the uppercut and it happens to be a counter, so like the other person, you know, threw a punch randomly or whatever and they missed, and you do an uppercut, then as a counter, one, that does more damage, and two, it switches to that X-ray sort of like short cutscene in the middle of the fight, and it like feels totally super satisfying to land counters now, because you get to see, it's like, oh, close up, and it like seems breaks like really their chin, and you see it goes like, it shows the bones getting all broken. It's like, oh, that's so cool. And yeah, there's like a lot of a lot of different counters that will trigger those types of things. And then I noticed like I'm trying to think who's a new character. I think there's like two or three new characters, but like a lot of the old characters, they have changed them. So you recognize them and stuff, but they have different moves than you remember. Because like right before I played Mortal Kombat 11, I played through the story mode of Mortal Kombat 10 again, because I didn't remember how it ended up. And then, so going to Mortal Kombat 11 is like, oh, a lot of these are the same characters. And I tried to like do the things that I was doing in 10 and they didn't work. And I was like, huh. So it's the same character and it's pretty close to the same time, I think. But they have totally different movesets now.
It's possible that they decided to get good in that time.
Maybe. I was doing like really, because, you know, when I'm playing through story mode, I don't go into detail with each character's moveset. I just kind of look through it and it's like, okay, that looks like an easy thing to input. I'm just going to do that. And I'll just like sort of cheap,
just spamming fireball.
Like cheap kill everyone in story mode. And so I was trying to do the same thing in 11. I was like, she doesn't have that move anymore. I was like, okay, now I got to find a new move that will allow me to do this. Yeah, so it's pretty fun. Like, I guess we'll see with Mortal Kombat 12 where they take the story. But it was like, I did not expect what they did in 11.
Soft rebooted it again then.
11 was really, it gets really crazy. And they also did a thing, I guess, like lastly with the story, I think Mortal Kombat 9 had the longest story mode. So you played through a lot of different characters and like each chapter was a character, right? And then each chapter was like several fights and some of them were just like really, really ridiculous setups when you think about it. Just like, Johnny Cage kept hitting on Sonya and then Jax is like, let's fight. And then, you know, Johnny Cage and Jax, and then you get a Johnny Cage and Jax fight.
He is her partner, so I mean, it's like,
or like, he's hitting on her, and she's like, "Okay, enough with this," and then they fight. Just like, okay. So there was like some sort of ludicrous setups that were, I enjoyed them; they were very funny. But then I think 10 had just fewer chapters. You played through fewer characters, and 11 the same has fewer. I don't know if it's fewer than 10, but it's like fewer than 9 definitely. But they did a thing where they combined character chapters. So there was like a chapter where you're both Kung Lao and Liu Kang, and you would get to, you know, a cutscene would play and then the situation is like laid out for you, and then you get to choose like which one do you want to use to fight this person, and then you would choose that, like you would fight as that character and the other character would like run off and do their own thing that needed to be done in whatever scenario it was. So like they were in some sort of death trap room that was guarding something, and they meet up with evil themselves, and then so you evil choose who you want to play as to fight against evil himself, and then if I choose Liu Kang, he'll tell like Kung Lao to like, okay, you go disable the traps and I'll fight this guy, and then he just runs off, and then you do your fight, and then they come back, and then you get to choose a different one. Just like, this is cool. There's sort of some replayability here. It also has multiple endings at the very end, so.
What?
Well, I mean, that's how time travel works, unfortunately. It causes shenanigans.
Pretty neat. It's pretty neat stuff. The story, it's pretty crazy. I feel like I did play another something. I just can't remember what it was. So I will just say that I think YouTube's algorithm adjustments have been really good. I've been looking at like woodworking videos, and of course my YouTube history is filled with gaming videos, and at some point it recommended me how to build your own arcade machine, which is like a combination of both of those things.
That seems legit.
And I was like, oh, that's cool. And it just got me nostalgic about like arcade games. And I was like, did I buy the X-Men game on PS3? And I found, I did. And like the Simpsons game. And I'm trying to figure out like where I bought the Ninja Turtles. They had a sort of, I guess it was a remake of Turtles in Time, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know what system I have that on, or, you know, unless they like took it off the download list and never said anything. I don't know. But
it's X-Men and Simpsons, I think. They might have did Turtles as well, I'm not sure.
I remember there was like a 3D remake of Turtles in Time. But I don't remember if that was on 360?
It was on both.
It was on both?
Yeah, I think it was on both. I could be wrong. I
bought it on 360. Anyways, yeah, so I started playing...
I know it was on the... I can't remember what their showcase for Xbox Live Arcade games was back in the day, but it was like one of those games. Like the... there was like a specific name of it. Like whatever they were showcasing, but like it was one of those.
Was it Summer of Arcade?
That it might have been one of those. I think
I might have gotten on 360. I don't remember. But yeah, I started playing the X-Men arcade game again because I feel like I've never played through it before. And also, I think it's really cool. I don't think I've ever seen a 6-player cabinet of X-Men in real life. And so
really?
I think I've only seen the 4-player version.
Because there's like always the 6-player ones in like all the arcades that we had here. So I didn't know there were actually smaller versions of it.
Yeah. Apparently the 6-player version used 2 screens. But they didn't have flat panels back in the day. So the way it worked was like they couldn't put 2 screens on the same shelf, like they were too heavy. And I guess how it worked was there was just one screen that you were looking at directly, and then there was another screen that was like down below that had mirrors like to reflect it up to the top. So it looked like it was 2 screens next to each other.
Oh, that's weird.
And I was like, wow, that's weird. I don't think I can build one of those, but you know, this PS3 version, they just like included the 6-player version and just made it a widescreen game. And I remember, I think there was a trophy for like playing 6 players. And I remember just getting out like all of my PS3 controllers and like hooking them all up. And I think I only had 4 DualShocks, but I had like an arcade stick. And I found something else that would work. And I just like plugged them all in and like started the game. And I was like, yay, trophy. So I remember just like, oh, this one does have 6 players. This would be really cool if I could build like a big arcade stick thing and then have 6-player games.
Man, remember back in the day where we had to use the multi-tap?
Well, I would still have to do that here if I decided to make like arcade sticks for it, because then they would have to be wired, and there's only like 2 ports, I think, on the front. But yeah, I just started thinking, like, oh, it'd be really neat if I could make this thing, because and I guess this all started from that Capcom Home Arcade announcement. I guess that's not coming out in the States, maybe?
What?
I've only seen, like the UK, where it's just a stick. Where it's, yeah, it's like 2 sticks, and it's shaped like the Capcom logo. And you plug it in, you plug that whole thing into the TV, and it has, like, the arcade games. Yeah, like, so far, I haven't seen anywhere you can get it in the U.S. And also, there's some sort of controversy around it, where, like, the arcade emulator that they're going to be using is it's under like a no commercial use license. And, you know, obviously they're going to be selling this thing. And so the people who made the emulator are like, hey, we don't want to get paid, but you shouldn't be able to get paid for our work either. So it's just kind of a whole thing. And I'm like, after seeing these videos, like, it would be cool to make my own arcade. I have many old monitors lying around. And there's like little computers now that are way more powerful than the arcade machines of the past. So, yeah, this would be really cool.
Oh my gosh, that'd be cool. I think you might be onto something. It's like the Steam Box may have never happened, the GPU in the monitor, but the arcade thingy in the wood thingy or whatever you're talking about could totally happen.
Yeah.
Or the processor in the wood. wood processor.
Are you going to actually build an arcade machine?
I kind of want to. Or I don't think I would build like a cabinet, I think, because it's sort of large and unwieldy. But if I could build like maybe a smaller, like modular type design. I mean, I have a basement right now that serves no function. So I was like, that would be cool.
It houses ghost tropical. That's what basements do.
My house is too new for to have ghosts.
I mean, it could have been built on an Indian burial ground or something. Who knows?
Maybe.
Basements are weird.
Yeah. So, a daydream. Build my own arcade. Yeah, I guess the thing I noticed, so, you know, my daughter plays games, but a lot of her friends don't, because for whatever reason, their parents like didn't let them or whatever. And so on the few occasions that they've come over, they're like really excited to play games. And then like every game is too hard because they don't, they have no basis.
That's great.
I was just like, we'll play Smash Brothers. It's just, you know, there's two buttons and you just sort of try to hit each other. It's like, oh, that's too hard. It's like, okay, how about Mario Kart? There's basically one button and then you steer like a, like, you know, like you're pretending to drive a car. And it's like, oh, that's too hard. It's like, how about Overcooked?
Oh my gosh,
this is like co-op.
Horrible.
And you just like, this stick moves you around and then this button like picks things up and this button does this other thing. And it's like, it wasn't even like the actual game. They just struggled to like move around on screen.
Like, maybe they're just really bad.
Well, yeah, they are, because they have no, they have like less than no experience.
How do you have less than no experience? I mean,
I don't know.
Zero is kind of like, I mean,
yeah. So I was just like, man, and I started thinking about co-op or like games that kids could play together that, you know, aren't hard. And when I think about sort of the modern ones that people always say, like, oh, Castle Crashers or, you know, that type, it's like, actually all those are way harder than, you know, X-Men really is just like, oh, you walk around, you have a jump button and a hit button and occasionally use the super button, but if you push it repeatedly it stops working after two or three presses because you don't have that much energy. And there's no like RPG leveling up thing like in Castle Crashers. There's no strategy really. There's just nothing. It's just like very, very simple. And I think like those are probably the games that they should be playing. I mean, despite the fact that it's like you're running around beating people up. Although X-Men, you know, they're all robots, so maybe it doesn't matter. But yeah, it's just like, compared to modern games, which wanted to add a bunch of stuff for gamers, they're just so complex compared to these old arcade game style games. So it would be cool to have my own arcade at home. But that's why I think that's what I've been playing.
Wonderful.
Well, so I finally went back to Monster Hunter World after like 6,000 years. So, Nergigante got his Arch Tempered updates, and then I was like, I immediately regretted this. So
it's like, I'm just going to have to wait to Iceborne because reasons.
But I forgot that their whole Spring Blossom Fest was going on right now anyway. So, I mean, there was the old events to do because I wanted to get that
that fuzzy hammer that I missed last time. I think it was during the appreciation fest that they had it. So, and I was very upset when I saw like all the the Monster Hunter account like tweeting out like, oh, here's all these things people probably got during the appreciation fest. And I was like, no, I didn't, no one tell me about this. So then now the all the events are back because it's one of their festival thingies. So I was able to get it. So I got my Bristly Hammer. But I have not been having great luck with Arch-Tempered Nergigante. I mean, he's kind of... I mean, it's weird because it's like normal Nergigante, it's like is manageable. So I'm not sure why this one is so much trouble, I guess. But I mean, I guess maybe he's slightly more aggressive or something, or maybe he just hits harder. But it's like, it's people are getting like murdered left and right. So it's like I have two different builds for him, like one for dealing damage and one as a healer. But it's one of those things where it's like, well, these things only work if my group is, you know, properly composed, I guess. So it's like playing with randoms is very difficult for something like that. So it's kind of one of those luck of the draw things where it's like, well, I have to hope that the people playing are of all using like weapons or something that can complement either of these things, because if not, then I'm kind of screwed. So yeah, so that's been pretty much a no-go so far. I mean, there's been some times where it's like it seems like we're making good progress, but then it's like we'll get to one of the areas and then all of a sudden he'll just like party wipe everybody, and it's just like, well, back to the drawing board, I guess. So there's that. I mean, he does use that dive bomb a lot more often, which might be part of the problem, but yeah, it's kind of not been a fun time with him so far.
I'm gonna guess the dive bomb is like a one hit, right?
Well, yeah. Damn. Don't get touched by that. So yeah, and like I said, since he uses it more often, it's kind of like, oh, this is our life now. I mean, usually I think part of the problem is too because he always roars right before he does it, so you don't really have time to like recover and do like the
dive bomb or the dive out of the way.
Yeah, or well, not only that, like the flash bomb him before he, like, because I mean, you can still flash bomb him out of it, but I mean, somebody basically has to not be near him when he's doing it in order to not be caught up in the long recovery time from the roar. So it's kind of a pain in the butt. I mean, my healing set has my hunting horn has the earplug buff on it, so it's not really a problem for me to protect people from it when I'm doing that, but if I'm playing as my damage dealer said, it's like, well, we're all going to die now, guys. So enjoy what's about to come, because all of us are standing near each other and he just roared. So good job, team, on that one. So yeah, it's one of those things where it's like, well, that was fine. Cause I don't even think, cause I've played him a few times where there have been Lance users in the party, and I don't know if maybe they just don't have the proper setup, but yeah, I have not seen anyone survive that attack, so it's better to just kind of not be in the way of it, because yeah, I mean, it was already bad when he was his usual version, so it's like now they just kind of amped it up, so it's like, yeah, you get caught in that, then you might as well just expect to get carded, because you're not going to survive it. So yeah, he's been super fun to try to fight him and fail miserably. So probably won't be getting that armor because one, that would require you to fight him multiple times, and two, I don't want to do that. So yeah, like, hopefully, maybe eventually I'll just get lucky, but I guess I'll end up just waiting till Iceborne before, you know, trying anything else, because then we can just like retroactively go back once we have more powerful gear and be like, hey, remember that one time? So yeah, that might be what ends up having to happen, because I mean, the gear that's available now, you can only like buff to so much, so it's like, well, if they've made him this powerful where it's like even like in-game armor sets aren't going to be enough to protect you, then it's like, well, you kind of just have to don't get hit kind of thing. So yeah, I'm not entirely sure how that's supposed to work. Like I said, I mean, if I guess if there's a lancer in your party, like they can, it seems like they can handle like most of the stuff he can do. It's just that dive bomb is just, I guess, a pain in the butt to try to protect yourself against or get out of the way of. Because again, like it doesn't seem like anybody can survive that regardless. But like the lancers seem to be at least able to guard like a good chunk of his other stuff without like taking too much damage. So as long as you keep them healed up, then they're okay. But yeah, the real problem is he uses that dive bomb fairly often because he gets his quills pretty quick in this version. So yeah. So I guess if you have an insect glaive user in your party, then it'll probably reduce the amount of times he uses it since they can like kind of clean off his quills if it's a good glaive user. But if they're not, then you're pretty much going to be seeing a lot of dive bombs because he loves the dive bomb now. It's like his favorite pastime. And even if he doesn't do the dive bomb, he does that thing where he kind of like floats in the air and then like smashes the ground thing as well, which is fairly powerful as well. So it's like he's kind of a pain in the butt, and he does move around a lot too. So I don't like fighting him anymore. He's not a fun time. So yeah. Now I actually haven't fought any of the other Archtemper. Oh no, that's not true. I fought Archtemper Kieran once and I was like, yeah, F this. So I haven't fought any of the other Archtempered Elder Dragons, but I'm sure they're just as fun as this one. So I was like, do I really need the Gamma armor for any of these? Because I mean, I think I'm good. Actually, no, because didn't Kuvay Turoth have an Archtempered one?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I fought her. But that one's fairly easy, though, yeah, so it's not by comparison. So, I mean, that one's not, I don't know, that one's not really anywhere near as bad as the smaller Elder Dragons because they can actually move around. She kind of just exists. So, yeah. Yeah. I also haven't fought AT Xeno Jivo, which probably is a nightmare as well. So, yeah. Yeah, hard pass. So I guess when this new Elder Dragon comes out for Iceborne, they're going to give it an Archtemper version too, and that's also going to be a fun party. So I don't think I like Archtempered monsters, guys. Don't think I like them because they're not fun. But other than that, I've been playing, or well, not that much. I played a little bit more of Deathmark. So we made it to the second ghost guy that he likes bees. He likes bees, guys. So he likes to turn people's bodies into human beehives as well. So, you know, pleasant ghost guy.
Exciting.
But I mean not for the people involved.
That's probably pretty exciting for them too.
I mean, I don't know what your definition of exciting is, but being drilled full of holes and being turned into a human beehive does not sound like a fun time to me.
Oh, he has to do stuff first? Yeah, that's not exciting.
I mean, tropical, really? But you just imagine, how do you think this worked?
Like, well, like, if people, you put a person in an empty room and then, like, unleashed bees into the room.
That's still not, a time tropical. I don't understand.
It's not a good time, but it would be exciting. A person would be excited.
No.
By so many bees.
See, I don't think.
I don't think you're using that word in the right context. Because when I think of excited, it's like there's some level of like positive, you know, stuff going on. But I mean,
I think of it just like,
just generally like high.
Yeah, like when you set a piece of wood on fire, the wood is excited by the fire.
Oh, dear. Oh, gosh.
How can wood be excited? It's an inanimate object.
Tropical, you might want to see a therapist.
But just, molecules can be excited.
They can be, yes. Yeah,
so it's like that.
You are correct. Before so you're basically just referring to any type of high level of energy.
Yes. Is high level of activity.
Which, I mean, you're not wrong. That is fairly accurate. Most people would
know. What's going on? Yeah. Why is this an empty room? What's that buzzing sound? Oh my gosh! Oh my gosh! That man is excited.
He certainly
by the bees.
So yeah, that's a thing. Because I mean, the context in which they find this spirit in, though, it's like one of those things where it's like you could have just left him alone. We wouldn't have that problem. Because apparently, he likes to hang out around like this. This condemned, well, it's not really condemned. I mean, it's a public space, but it's like this giant forest that I guess people used to like dump a bunch of waste and stuff to the point where people just don't go anymore. So the only people that do go there are like people who want to like commit suicide because it's like all isolated and nobody goes there and they can kind of just, you know, do stuff to themselves. So I guess, yeah, some people just happen to be going there on dares or whatever it is that happens. And they find the spirit guy and he's like, do you like bees? And then they're like, sure, I guess. And he's like, good. Then he drills them full of holes and turns them into human beehives. Cause yeah, that's what people do, I guess, around here. So yeah, that's a thing. So currently we have to go explore like a bee farm because there was a cult there and the cult had like a mass suicide or something. And it's a weird scenario going on right now. So just trying to research this ghost spirit thing so they can, you know, banish it. Cause several people got marked, including one of the people from the previous thing that already had his mark erased. So he got another mark and it's like, you should have just stayed away. So yeah, that's what's going on right now. So yeah, it's been a fun time. But that's all I've been playing.
Okie dokie. Are we going to do a short RRR or do that after the middle segment?
Nah, I think we... A brief hiatus due to the fact that I didn't prepare this week. It's been a long time! There was other stuff. It finally broke 75 degrees today.
I mean, it's kind of been over that for like months here. So
I've basically been—I was sick for a week, and we haven't recorded in two weeks. So one of those weeks I was sick, and the other week, something happened, and we were all like, "Oh, it's gonna be later." And it's going later. I was like, "We should just delay," and we did delay until tonight.
I mean, technically accurate.
But yeah, there was like 2 days where I didn't leave my bed. It was pretty crazy. So even now, I'm like kind of out of it, but I had to do stuff.
Sad. Sad. You were slowly dying.
Yes, so I don't have RR this week. Look for that next time.
Okay.
It's me, Mario.
Okay, so yeah, this week's weekly segment is E3 is almost upon us soon. And, you know, it seems like sometimes, you know, even though it happens, what seems like out of nowhere, games just come and go. Like, you know, Apex Legends, nobody saw that. It's like, you know, you see these games, it's like, oh man, it's another one to chase the dragon, chase the $1 million unicorn, or I'm sorry, billions of dollars, $1 trillion unicorn. That's like, you know, you could just, if you could just catch it and make all that money and never have to worry about your cake factories or cake bakeries and whatnot as a publisher. So, you know, we're all like, okay, so, you know, what's the new genre this year, D3? It's going to have a ton of entries that are going to be like, oh man, here comes another one. Here comes another one. Whereas like last year it was, you know, I mean, we didn't get Anthem announced last year, but we saw Anthem and then we saw Fallout 76 and it was like, oh man, people chasing that Destiny train. And then Division was also a thing. And then it was like Division 2. It's like, oh man, they're still sticking with it. It's like, and then we've got, you know, Fortnite blowing up, being the cultural phenomenon that it was last year. I guess still is. I don't really play it or keep up with it, so whatever. And then, like, you know, after that, it seemed like there's tons of talk about it. And then it's like, oh man, who else is going to try it? And then, you know, we got the blackout in Call of Duty Black Ops 4. And then we had the, what's it called in Battlefield? Fire something something?
Firestorm.
Firestorm. In Battlefield. And Apex Legends out of nowhere. It's like, oh yeah, the guy, the original A-team of the Call of Duty developers. Wait, was that Infinity Ward, right? But they're not that anymore. They're Respawn, right?
No, it was Treyarch that did Blackout.
No, I'm just saying, like, wasn't Infinity Ward the original A-team, and then Treyarch was, like, the B-team, but they were, like, secretly the A-team, because they, like, they always made hits. They never made a bad game. And it's like, we're not the B-team. They just call us that, we're not Infinity Ward. And then Infinity Ward, a bunch of them left, did their own, like, to make their own thing. And then, that's
Respawn.
Respawn? Okay. So, yeah, that's the story. And it's like, you know, everybody's been there dipping their toes in their fingers in, or I guess that's not an expression, you don't dip your finger in. Everybody's dipping their toes in the water of Battle Royale to be like, oh, how can we experiment with this and make millions off the microtransactions and all those lovely, 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 lovely cosmetics. Because that's the way the game is played. We did like come up with like, no, we don't, never mind. I was going to make a Game of Thrones reference or joke, but it's just like that, and it didn't make sense at the time, and I'm like, you know, it does make sense. Never mind. Game of games.
The show, anyway.
Yeah. Chase the money. Chase the stuff. So that's the segment of what new genre is going to have the most entries this year, D3, as far as like, oh, man, me too. You know, is there going to be a bunch of battle royales? Is there going to be a bunch of games of service, Destiny style? Rip Anthem, Fallout 76. Is there going to be a lot of free to play? Who knows? Whatever, you know, free to play everything. As I said that one time, that's not multiplayer anymore, or that's not single player. Because I think it's a coming. It's like, you know, a lot of it could happen. I guess I'm not saying it's going to happen, but it's like it could happen. Be prepared, everybody. Get in your bunkers now. So yeah, that's the segment, and that's the question posed, or the question asked to the panel here to answer. I think after we've seen all these other battle royale games, I think we'll still get some, but like not as many, because it seems like after Apex Legends came out of nowhere, it's like, wow, that's kind of interesting.
Yeah,
it's like I don't think we're at saturation, but it's like I think it's like hard to pull off because it's just. You know, I think it's also something like that where you can just like, you can also just like announce it whenever and people are like, oh man, another one of like Fortnite, but not like Fortnite. So just have instant, press or, you know, exposure without having to like be at a really big, event. Also, it seems kind of whatever. It doesn't seem to like suit that, environment because like the people that are fans of that would probably skew more casual or just like not be as into the people that tune into that. So I think Battle Royale probably not going to have a lot of entries. Probably more games of service because it seems like that is like where everything is headed. Like I was thinking about this because RPG was putting something, RPG was talking about Black Mirror on Twitter, and then like I was like thinking about how basically after Destiny there's a lot of games that kind of wanted to be like that, and then just in general, from like the games I play this generation, it seems like there's a lot of like I feel like this is like the generation of grind of like, you know, RPGs in general, like, you know, that's a thing, but it's like I think not until recently has that been like creeping into like everything else and just like making me want to like not play them, or just like I see like the open world game and I'm like, I'm kind of wary as far as like how bad is it, as like, you know, is it a game I can be in an open world and just go and have fun, or has it got some like weird ulterior motives of trying to like turn me into some ching ching machine where it just like drains all my money from like, you know, all the grinding that I could do, or just like circumvent with money, or just, you know, it's like I don't trust anybody anymore. So there's that. Or just like my time. It just sucks all my time. It just wants all of it. So it's like I see games of service, you know, that's I think that's the thing. I mean, there was like also like a comment, one of the quarterly earnings things from EA, where like they said something about that. I can't remember what it was right now, but it was like really weird. They said something about like I don't remember the specific line, but they said something about like, we could see more games, blah, 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 like this, something, something, because of something, something profit. And I was like, oh, so I'm not as, I mean, I'm always wary about the free-to-play thing, but it's like, it hasn't gotten to the point in my, like, my nightmare vision, prophecy of like, you know, everything is like just a, here's the base game and you just don't get anything else because it's just, we add on top. And then you just play that over and over and over again until you want to buy money, or I'm sorry, not buy money, but like, or like, yeah, buy virtual currency to get the virtual items, because you put money in, nothing comes out. That is the nightmare future, free to play future. Oh, terrible. So I'd say, games and services probably get like a bunch, maybe a few battle royales, and, not so much free to play, because it just seems like it's not the right venue. So we'll see. But that is my prediction in the first, second, and third order for my choices.
I think it's going to be single player games.
But single player is dead.
They said that a while ago. And well, okay. So what I would say is that right now is a weird time. There isn't like a clear one. Like if you think of Battle Royale, we're at the point of essentially like when World of Warcraft was like super popular, and that's the game that everyone talked about, and every other person was like, oh, we're gonna make a World of Warcraft too, and just like none of them,
man, that was such a weird time, dude, when they're, yeah, it's like you had what was that game that Richard Garriott made? I can't think of the name. That seemed really interesting at the time.
I can't think of.
No, he had like an MMO that was like in the era of World of Warcraft, because it was like a modern setting, or like a contemporary setting, but like future with aliens, and like we got invaded, and it was like sci-fi. But like everything else that went offline, like that's kind of like what I'm thinking now. So it's like all those games like from that era, like offline, like Matrix Online is offline, City of Heroes is offline. Effing, or games that like never came out, like Huxley, that was supposed to be like a really cool first person MMO that like never happened. Star Wars Galaxy is offline. I mean, it's funny because it's like ironic, because I think EverQuest is still going, but that actually I think might have came before World of Warcraft. It just didn't get to that like level of, because it wasn't like a franchise that had like, you know, had like the cachet that Warcraft had. So it just like was, it's, that's like what the thing, the EverQuest was like an MMO, and like that's what it always was. And then like, you know, still going on, but like it never caught on like what Warcraft did. Like Warcraft basically, wow, I'm trying to think of words. It surpassed it. There we go. Yeah. And like it never looked back.
I mean, so it's sort of the same thing. Like, match. Fortnite has built itself into something that is like people invest in it, whether it's time or money, in much the same way that people invested in their World of Warcraft characters. So it's like really hard, I think, to get those people out of there. And, you know, on top of that, like during World of Warcraft time was weird, because like World of Warcraft came out. You know, it was just insanely popular. And then a lot of other ones like kept coming out and kept failing. Yeah. And yet more would come out after them. And it was just like, this is sort of a weird thing. You know, these days, I think, especially with the bigger publishers, they seem to be more wary of everything. And so,
yeah, that is true. You know, this is like probably the most risk averse like yeah. era ever.
Like there's a lot of there's already a bunch of battle royale games, and like a bunch of them have failed already too, and have like gone offline. Like the last time, the one I was thinking of was The Culling.
Oh yeah,
The Culling 2 came out, and no one was playing it. Like you could go on and watch these videos of people like parachuting in, and then the screen immediately saying, "Oh, you won," because that was the only person in the game.
I don't remember The Culling, but I do remember The Culling, but I do remember the game Blizzinski made that was like 80s themed.
Oh yeah,
I can't remember the name now, but yeah.
It was just like
it was after very, Lawbreakers.
Yeah, very quickly, very brief lifespan. And like even Apex Legends like has dropped off apparently a lot since it came out. And so,
well, because it was like the new hot thing, and then it's just kind of like, okay, I've seen it now, and I'm just like, I'm gonna go back to what I was doing before. Yeah.
So I think, you know, if it's going to be Battle Royale, it's not going to be other shooters, I don't think. I think it's going to be things like Tetris 99.
Oh, man, Tropical. I was like, the minute you said that sentence, I was thinking in my brain, 100-player fighting game.
Maybe.
Because that's not chaotic at all. So basically, it would just be like the Hunger First Games. Fight Club.
Obviously, you all broke it because you're all here.
It's true. It's like, well, someone had to tell somebody, so I mean.
Oh, man, yeah. I would actually enjoy that, Chow DeCole, because like, I think that's kind of what happened with the MMOs over time, is like you had the whole fantasy aesthetic, but then like people tried different things, and then like some stuck, some didn't, but then at least you got like other stuff. So yeah. That's probably what's going to happen. That's
like, cool. I don't expect the next Call of Duty to have Battle Royale in it. I think they're going to keep Battle Royale with Black Ops 4, and then like Firestorm will be Battlefield's Battle Royale for the foreseeable future. And I don't think that they're going to try to make a new one for the next games.
What's the appeal of Battle Royales anyway?
I think in the beginning it was just sort of this novelty. It's like, oh, it's 100 players. And then the way that you play it, it has sort of that tension of like Metal Gear Solid in a way, or the later Metal Gear Solids, in that it's like, it's sort of stealthy. You don't want to get seen, but also if you do get seen, like you can handle it if you're good enough. And it was like with PUBG, it was very like aim assist and stuff was all off or whatever. So it was very like skill based, I guess. So when you were able to survive, or you were able to like kill someone, it felt like, oh, I've done this pretty amazing thing here. And then yeah, to be able to be the last person out of 100 players, like when you think about it, it's like, what games support 100 players at the same time on the same map? And it's like, well, there was Mag with 256. I think Battlefield had 64-on-64, maybe, on PC. But yeah,
that might have been it. Because I think that's what Battlefield 2's like big thing was like the just massive battles.
Yeah, but like so, I think there was some novelty in just having like 100 players connected to each other.
Oh wait, actually, there was the same place. Planet Side, which was kind of MMO, and there's some other game on Xbox. Did the Duke era, I think. I can't remember what it's called. It was some like Delta Force something, some military shooter, but I don't remember the name. So
But yeah, I think, you know, now that some of the novelty is over as far as Battle Royale, like people have decided whether they like it or not. And so I don't know that there's a huge untapped market of people who want to play a 100-player battle royale shooter that aren't catered to yet with any of these games.
Because, I mean, I would imagine to make it more interesting, they'd have to do it like battle royale, like the book one where it's like, you know, people are dropped on there and everybody has like different skills and have to find a way to like kind of take everybody out. It's not just like everybody has guns, go at it kind of thing. It's like, well, you kind of have to, you know, find weapons or use your innate skills or, you know, trick people and do all, like, it would be interesting if somebody could pull a game off like that, but at the same time that sounds like it will require a lot of work. So it's like,
that's why I don't think, like, for me looking at Battle Royale, there are two obvious directions. One, Tetris 99 showed that essentially your Battle Royale, like, the interaction between players can be anything. And, you know, the novelty of playing against 99 other people, like, still exists. It just doesn't have to be shooting. It can be anything. And if you can come up with an interesting way to, for example, like Tetris, the way, like, if you're just playing it, you're basically just playing Tetris, but they added on a layer of like interesting choices where you can like choose who you're going to attack. And, you know, like that determines like which player receives like your junk lines. And then there's also some mysterious system that probably has been worked out by now, but it's just like when you eliminate other players, your like attack power goes up or something. So in the end, theoretically, is like two players who have taken out a lot of other players are like now fighting against each other, and they have like built up their strength. And yeah, there's just like an interesting sort of competitive layer that they've added on top of it. But yeah, like, so essentially you have 99, you have 100 players. They don't have to be shooting against at each other. They can do other things against each other. And all you have to do is like figure out an interesting layer on top of whatever the base thing that they're doing. You know, the one I've been thinking of is like, it could be like rock, scissors, paper. You could have a rock, scissors, paper game that you play against 100 other people, and you come up with an interesting way to sort of like match people against each other, or have them like be able to choose who they're going to be matched against. And you could do it. It would be kind of out there, but it would work. And then, yeah, the other direction that they could do it is like, one of the reasons that about 100 players seems novel is because at one point that was like technically challenging thing to do. But you know, if one person can do it, then anyone can do it. The first person has it hardest because they have to prove that it can be done. And once it's been proved that it can be done, then it's kind of trivial. It's like, okay, you just got to figure out how to do it. And yeah, like, there are other things you could have 100 players connected to each other do that, you know, we haven't had before.
Ooh, man, tropical. Like, the more you talk about this, the more I'm like thinking of like, I wonder, like, when we'll get like variations on the formula. Like you had basically when FPS first came out and it was like Doom, Quake, you basically had like deathmatch, team deathmatch for like the longest time before like Capture the Flag, CTF, and like stuff like that came along, where it's like other modes that you could like put into this. So now I'm just like thinking of like, when does the crazy happen of like, you have 100 people, but now it's like, instead of just like the every prison for themselves mode, like free for all craziness, you have like actual structured like modes. That'd be pretty insane.
Yeah,
that are like garnered towards that. That'd be pretty cool.
Like, I saw PUBG had an interesting mode where it was like four of the players are on a team against the other 96, and it was like a zombie survival type situation. And it was like, this is a really cool idea. And then like recently,
it'd be like really cool if like all the people that were like the zombies were like reduced speed and health or something to like give the other people like a handicap to where they had like a chance.
It was really insane. It was more like cool. 28 days later. So, but then like the zombies were coordinating with each other, so they couldn't use guns or whatever, but like they could like jump out of the grass and like, you know, hack you down. And it was really cool because the one I was watching was like the team of four was sort of, you know, trying to find weapons and stuff in different houses, because that's what you do. And like the 96 other players were like hiding in the bushes and trying to like stealth zombie stealth their way, you know, within range, and then just like, everybody charge. It was like, this is awesome.
Oh man, that's actually interesting, because like, yeah, it's like theoretically you could overwhelm them because they're going to run out of ammo.
Yeah.
And then like, if they're in a building, they're stuck. So it's like, yeah, that could work.
And there's a lot more of you than there is of them. So. I mean,
it's basically Days Gone, but all of the freakers are people playing them. Just like, that's really cool.
They're people.
But yeah, like recently Fortnite did a special mode for Avengers Endgame, and it was like, I'm not sure how they divide the teams, but it was essentially one team was the Avengers, and you would like drop out of the plane like usual, but then you would like go, the weapons that you would find in chests would be like Avenger weapons. So it was like Captain America's shield and like Thor's hammer and like Hawkeye's bow and Iron Man's like gloves, and they all had like unique abilities. So like you could hover with Iron Man's gloves and like shoot repulsor beams, and then like Hawkeye had like a grappling hook as the secondary fire, so you could like just launch yourself everywhere like Spider-Man essentially. And then the other team was like Chitauri alien guys, and they're trying to recover the Infinity Stones for Thanos. And I think it was like once you got the first one, then one player on the Chitauri side would become Thanos. And it would, like, he worked essentially the way he did in the Thanos crossover that they did earlier. And so he's like super powerful. He's got a lot of shields and health, and you know, he can like one hit kill any of the Avengers. the way it worked was like, if Thanos got all six stones, then, like whichever side, or it was like, I think there's like 100, the Chitauri side gets 100 lives, and the Avengers is just trying to whittle down their lives. Whereas the Avengers, if Thanos got all six stones, then they would no longer be able to respawn. So then you would just like be down, everyone would be down to their last lives, and then they wouldn't respawn if Thanos had all the stones. But it's just like, that's kind of a cool mode that they, it's sort of like more players than you're accustomed to. But it wasn't like a battle royale thing necessarily. And it's like, yeah, someone has solved this problem of getting a bunch of players together in the same game. So now that you have that, like there's lots of stuff you can do. It doesn't have to be battle royale. And well, that's, all of that was completely off topic, because I don't think that anyone, especially the big publishers, are going to take it down those roads. They're kind of afraid to try new stuff, and that would be new stuff. You know, Fortnite has the advantage of already being there and being able to sort of modify their game modes easily like this, lets them experiment, and they can find things that are cool like that. But yeah, I don't expect there to be a lot of battle royale stuff at E3.
Okay, you said single player, but single player is not a new genre.
Yes, so you're right. It's not a new genre, although it would be new to see it resurge at E3, I guess.
Good point.
And the reason I think that is because these sort of like cash cows that they would normally try to chase have not panned out. So you think about like Battle Royale. Fortnite, apparently, if you think about the way that they run Fortnite, like that's gotta be a huge expense. They're updating it every week. You know, they're making these special modes. Every 10 weeks is another season, and where they like change the map entirely, and they have different weapons come in and different weapons are removed, and just like, it is basically a games of service game, except that you're not building like your character in the way that you would be in Destiny. So yeah. And just because of like what has happened, and like Apex Legends, pretty big for a little while and then not so much anymore. Yeah, like I don't think that people are looking at that and saying, okay, we just got to make another battle royale game, you know, throw another battle royale game out there and see if it sticks. It's like, no, you can't do that. Like if you cut off Blackout and you're just like, we're shutting down Blackout. If you want to play battle royale Call of Duty style, you got to come to the next game. Like that does not bring people to the next game. And then, you know, the other obvious cash cow was like, yeah, games of service is like, well, that hasn't worked out either. And those are like really expensive. It's really hard to run a live game. And, you know, we already know that new platforms are going to be announced and stuff like that. So we're kind of looking at the end of the generation. Cash cow ones are like require heavy investment and all this, and like player investment is what you're looking for. But if like everyone is going to be jumping ship to another console, then you're looking at like 2 years, 3 years, maybe, that people will be able to invest in these things.
I guess I didn't consider that. It seems like there might be like a drawing down since we're at the end of the gen. So like there might not actually be that much at E3 at all, maybe, because everybody's like saving their big guns for the next gen.
That's what I'm thinking.
Because they want to like all go in guns blazing at the start.
Yeah, because they.
I mean, that being said, though, that's kind of weird because like we have like such a high install base. Like you could still make a lot.
Yeah.
But then that makes sense for a single player, like from like that angle, because it's like, you know, those games are selling like millions of copies every time. So
yeah, I'm kind of thinking like,
as long as the reviews are solid.
Maybe not giant single player games, but like medium sized single player games.
Kind of like a Devil May Cry or a Resident Evil. Like just have like a linear experience that you can get through in like 12 hours or something.
Yeah. Because like you can't release nothing until the next gen comes out. But you can't, I don't think it makes sense to be like, we're going to start a games as service at the end of this year. And you know, like Anthem right now, they say it's 100% commitment moving forward with Anthem. Like, really? Like, if half of the player base is gone and, you know, new people aren't buying the game because they've heard that it's not good, then, like, what is the incentive to continue working on Anthem?
Future losses.
Yeah, but wouldn't you make more money off of the current gen players than, like, people next gen that haven't bought in yet? Because it's going to take time for the install base to get there.
I mean, you would. But I just, like, I feel like there is no obvious path to take to make money in games right now.
Ah, okay. I see what you're saying.
Like, you know, if you're the second MMO, then there's like a path there. If you're like the 20th MMO and like one of the first five was WoW, then it doesn't make sense to be the person making the 20th MMO. And like I think at that point, like you can do anything that you do with your MMO, it's not gonna like set the world on fire, unless you're, I can't even imagine. You would have to do something just amazing. And I think Battle Royale is kind of like that already. You know, everyone talks about, not everyone, but what I've been hearing and sort of thinking about myself is like this sort of attention economy. You know, we've gotten to the point where it's just like, there is so much content being produced that everything really is competing with each other. And like we're hitting the limits of how much time any single person has. And so the games that we tried to push were like Destiny. You buy this one game and that's all you play. Yeah, Tekken can speak to this. And it was just like, you know, it's like when those games exist like that and they're like doing okay, then that like takes out a lot of other games. And so, yeah, like I think you're not going to get to the 20th battle royale. You're going to get to like 8 or 9 of them, or maybe 10 of them. And then everyone's like, oh, well, that's kind of saturated because, you know, people just have less time these days. And so, you know, move on to the next thing. And right now, I don't think anyone knows what the next thing is yet. And so big publishers, they're not going to be out there like, this is the next thing. I mean, they would if they weren't so afraid that it's not going to be the next thing. So yeah, I think they're going to look around as like, okay, what's something safe that we can kind of do? Because like the difference is when you get to next gen, you'll be able, like there's sort of a built-in novelty with it. Like everything is novelty in games. And so when you get to next gen, just like, because the library on next gen will be so much smaller in the very beginning that you can do sort of, you know, maybe you can do another battle royale on there and it would just be like almost like default. Oh, this one is more interesting than all of the other ones on last gen because this is a current gen game. And so then, you know, you can sort of go back to chasing it there. But I think right now on this gen, I don't know what the obvious answer is to like, what is the game that we should make that will, like, what are we chasing right now? Nobody knows. The things that are obvious to chase are kind of done or they're like saturated. And to, you know, make something that will differentiate ourselves is going to be hard. And we don't want to do that because it's hard. Hard means money. Yeah, so for me, it's like, well, single player games. They don't, like, they always talk about how single player games are expensive. And yet, surely it's cheaper to make something like, finite, you know, a story game starts and ends. Surely it's cheaper to make something like that rather than Anthem or The Division or any of those things. So, yeah. Oh, I also feel like, you know, EA's stance on, was it Jedi Fallen Order? It's like, oh, it's a single player game. There's a beginning and an end, and there's like nothing after that. It's like, you know, maybe when they were talking about single player is dead, like times have changed already since then. And like this, that kind of game production makes more sense now. That's like one of Jedi Fallen Order is like my indicator. It's like, oh, maybe that's what other publishers are going to do for these last 2 years of the generation.
What, announce games and then cancel them?
No. Just, yeah. Finite games.
Play it safe. Yeah. Single player. And then if it sells well, we'll add DLC. Or expansions. Like Monster Hunter.
Like Anthem, I don't know what they're going to do. Because on the one hand, they sort of promised people that it would get better and there would be more stuff. But on the other hand, like, surely that does not make economic sense to them anymore. And so it's just like, well, it's going to suck then. I mean, I bought the game and, you know, listening to their roadmap is like, yeah, that seems cool. And if they just like cut off the rest of the roadmap, it's like, well, that's going to suck. And so that's going to be like poisoning the ocean. Anywho, RPG, what do you think?
I don't know, because with all of the random companies drawing out of or taking their hat out of the ring for E3 and just the usual suspects, I mean, it's just not really looking like there's going to be much of anything going on. Because, I mean, like you said, with the new generation of consoles kind of looming,
there's a chance that some of these people have already been like, LOLs, we've been working on stuff already, so now we can actually release stuff. So it's not just like a dry launch period, and then we just have like actual stuff going on.
You think it's going to be one of those EA press conferences for the whole show? It's like, oh, here's a little tease of something, and it's like their producers talking about, oh, yeah, we can push these many polygons and it's gonna look spectacular, and you'll get like a 5 second
like a concept art or something.
Yeah, like concept art. It's gonna be entire we're looking concept to art E3.
Yeah, because it's like because I'm pretty sure most of these developers are probably already working on something, or at least in like pre-production of something for the next generation of consoles, because it's like you don't want to be the last one left to release anything where it's like, oh, everybody's trying to pick up. It's like, this is the perfect time to do it when everybody's in new console frenzy, because otherwise it's like, well, we waited too long, we missed our chance, and now we're doomed. So if anything, it's probably going to be a resurgence of all of the genres, only because they have new consoles coming, but I don't think it's going to be anything soon. So this E3 is probably going to just be like kind of meh. And then like later in the year, at the later game conferences that are like overseas and everything, and then like next year, we'll probably get like more. It's like, well, we were working on this, so this is happening, and then we'll probably see more, you know, actual stuff going on since, you know, they have a new toy to play with. So, yeah.
Oh, man. Actually, yeah. I think another possibility is remakes and remasters.
Yeah. That's probably going to be the way a lot of people go for now, because they're like, well, let's start moving stuff over so you can play this stuff before we announce our inevitable sequels or whatever else is happening. Or in the case of some people, they're multi-part games, because that's necessary. But yeah.
I guess like what stragglers are left that we know exist but haven't come out yet?
What do you mean, stragglers?
So, like, we know, what's that game? Skull and Bones, the, like, pirate ship game for Ubisoft. Like, that's been announced for these consoles.
There was Beyond Good and Evil, too.
Isn't out yet. I don't know. Was Beyond Good and Evil announced for these consoles?
I mean, when they
announced
it, I'm about to say it's like, because at that time we didn't. But the problem is, it seems like they were like still in like super alpha when they were showing off this stuff. So it's possible that it might end up going the way of like The Last Guardian and Final Fantasy 15 and ending up on the next generation, because they're like, well, we kind of can't do this.
Yeah, I guess that would be. Because, like, the architecture of the new consoles is supposed to be more similar than, say, like, the jump between a PS2 and a PS3. So maybe it will be, you know, because that will be easier, maybe more of these stragglers will just be like, oh, cross-gen, or delayed to next-gen.
Because, I mean, yeah, there's not, like, I guess a lot of them left, because I mean, Final Fantasy VII, the remake was announced for these, and then with Beyond Good and Evil 2 and then Skull and Bones, I mean, and Psychonauts 2, I guess 2 was announced like 20,000 years ago, and they still haven't released that yet. But there's not, I don't think there's really like a lot left, actually, because it's possible that some of them kind of, I mean, the thing is with these new generations, like, I'm sure the developers know ahead, like, well ahead of time, like, this is about to happen, because obviously they have to start working on stuff, because otherwise it's going to be like, oh, we just found out yesterday that there's going to be a new console. So, just like you guys, we didn't know. And now it's going to take
in 3 years.
We have 6 years. So it's like, yeah. So I think with like new consoles, like with these generations, like they probably get like
dev kits, at least, but they're just like, well, you're not allowed to talk about this because we're not announcing it yet. But, you know, this is so you can start working on stuff, because otherwise, if you don't start now, you're probably going to be behind and not be able to make anything in time. And it's going to be another generation. So, yeah. But, yeah. So that might be why, like, some of them kind of like slow down a little bit. Or release like safe games, so it's like nothing that's too, like, not like really new IPs or anything, but like something that they could easily kind of get behind and kind of release and bin, and then like prepare for other stuff later.
All right. Do we have a conclusion here?
It could be anything. It could be nothing at all. It could be just a lame duck session until next gen. Of like, no, you're not getting anything because we're all in pre-production for next gen. So enjoy these remakes and remasters, because that's the cheapest we can do. That's the cheapest route
to go. Well, I don't know if remakes are cheap, because you kind of, a lot of those have
are not remasters. Yeah, enjoy the remasters. And retro compilations, because there's a lot of those too coming out. Jeez.
I wonder if maybe the cheapest thing for EA to do is to actually fix Anthem, since they've like already spent the money and made the thing. Surely the problem that is, was more they'd expensive be able than to, fixing it.
Would they be able to like recover their lost audience though at this point? Or is it like, they might be too far gone?
There's like two cases in recent years that I can think of where it worked. Diablo 3 and Final Fantasy 14, A Realm Reborn. So maybe.
Yeah, but people don't trust or like EA, so there's that.
Who did the other ones? Blizzard, yeah, people like Blizzard. Square, yeah, okay, so who knows? But people like BioWare.
Yeah, but the problem is EA is the problem.
He's right, because they're the ones that are like, Frostbite Engine, guys, it'll solve all your problems, but then it only made problems.
I don't think they ever said that. They probably said, Frostbite, it costs us nothing.
Well, they're the one that gave the mandate, so it's their fault. So. Yeah.
So, you know, I didn't prepare, so I don't have a lot of news. I did happen to see earlier that apparently Nintendo Switch Online members... right now, Nintendo is doing a promo where you can buy Switch game vouchers. You get two of them for $100, and then you can use them towards Nintendo Switch Online, so like digital games. And they're like, oh, that's a $20 savings, because, you know, all those games would be $60. And their examples were like Breath of the Wild, Mario Kart 8, and the upcoming Super Mario Maker 2. So
yeah, well, I'll keep that $100 and use it towards Ghost of Tsushima, Last of Us 2, Death Stranding. Thanks for trying Nintendo, but no thanks.
It's kind of a weird program. And then, obviously, last week was the second PlayStation State of Play. They showed off some more Iceborne Monster Hunter World footage. Got to see some monsters and stuff.
It's a Monster Hunter. Surprise.
I mean, as you would expect.
I watched it at work with the sound off, so I was like only getting like half of the audio video feedback, but like I was kind of negative on everything I saw. I was like, oh, this isn't, I mean,
I was like, there's snow. Quantity. There's, yeah. It looks like a land shark, But isn't that the same creature as the one that swims in lava and the one that swims in mud? And the same thing swims in
the... Yeah, it's just
the snow version of them.
But then they showed some like big dragon thing, which I assume was in previous Monster Hunters.
It is not.
Oh, so it's a new dragon thingy.
Yeah, that older dragon is new.
They're like, oh no, it's bad. And
I imagine it's weak against fire.
Yeah, you'd maybe actually be surprised is. With some of these maybe monsters sometimes. It is. It's probably actually against thunder. Enjoy.
There were a few new games announced. One of them was something called, I believe it's called Away.
That one looks cool.
Yeah, the one where you play as a squirrel.
Yes, the flying. Yeah. It's called a sugar something. Sugar glider.
That.
It looks like a post-apocalyptic survival game, except for animals. So, like, Tokyo Jungle was like that. But this is like a full 3D game.
Exploration thing, yeah.
It reminded me of actually the footage that they've been showing of Ancestors, the Humankind Odyssey. That game that the original creator of Assassin's Creed has been making. Where it's like the gorillas.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it reminded
me of. They said that game was like super hard. From what I've seen in or heard in previews, I was like, that does not sound fun. Hard pass on that.
It's so cute, though, but then it's like, oh, I'm dying. Left and right. Just like a sugar whatever thing.
Then another one that they announced was, I believe it was called Predator Battlegrounds.
I was very infuriated when I saw this. I was like, why is this here? Like, okay. Time out. I was fine until it like ended and I was like, what the F, that's it? Cause it was basically like, no, actual gameplay and like bold text at the bottom and then like dudes in the jungle. And then panning back to your predator looking at dudes from predatory stealth position.
Didn't the 1v4 thing kind of like pass already?
Well,
I was about to say,
I don't know if it actually ever happened because like Evolve was like the game, Evolve. Right? But it didn't become one of those things where it's like, oh, everyone wants to chase this.
It wasn't successful enough.
Yeah, there were a few other games. So like, the Friday the 13th game is like that.
Yeah, that's right.
It's like Dead by Daylight or something.
Yeah, that one apparently is really popular.
Oh, well, there you go.
So sort of like these, one on four. It's a little bit popular, but it's never become like Fortnite. It hasn't become one of these things where it's like, oh my gosh, this thing. So it hasn't reached the point where it could have passed because it's not.
Never started.
Yeah, I don't think it was ever a thing, really.
Yeah, it was an odd reveal because I was like, this, okay, I guess.
Yeah, it's like very short. And like nothing really worthwhile, and I'm just like, thank you for wasting my time. That was completely useless.
There's like reason to be excited in that it is through Worldwide Studios, so it's a first party or second party game. It's being developed by Ilphonic, who, and I didn't go look this up, but someone said that they made the Friday the 13th game.
Wasn't the Friday the 13th game like super buggy though?
Yeah. You know what? I'll look it up now. But yeah, so those were two games that they announced. Then there was the release date for the Medieval remake is October 25th, right?
Yeah, it's like sometime this fall.
What, are people really excited for that?
I have no
idea because, I mean,
The only experience I have with Medieval was like the demo from the demo disc way back in the day. I never actually played the game itself. So for me, I was just like, when they were saying they were remaking it, everybody's like, yeah, I was like, I guess.
Yeah, it's like there's a long list of JRPGs I'd put above this, but okay. Legend of Dragoon, Jade Cocoon to name two, just saying.
But if Legend of Dragoon got a remake, great.
Oh my gosh, in modern graphics, it'd be amazing. Any game from that era would look amazing in modern graphics. Ah! Just like the Final Fantasy VII remaster, and just like imagine the things from PS1, but like this. And then I saw some like tweets of like side-by-sides of like, hey guys, remember when this person from Avalanche looked like this and they look like this now? And it's like, man, man, we need to go back to the future and bring everything back. We're not back to the future, but like we need to like remaster everything. I think I said that at some point. Or like we said, like this is like the do-over generation. Mm-hmm. So it's like redo everything. Everything. It looks so good.
All right, so it says Ilphonic co-developed Friday the 13th, the game, with Gun Media. And that game, the Predator game, is not called Battlegrounds. It's called, I don't know why I called it that, Predator Hunting Grounds. And it's being co-developed with 20th Century Fox. And Sony will be publishing.
Probably because we talked so much about Battle Royale this episode.
Maybe.
I had grounds in the name. You're close.
Yes. I'm probably forgetting some other stuff, but the last thing I remember was, of course, the new footage of Final Fantasy VII Remake, with a tease that there will be more
episode one
in more information in June.
I was like, dude, don't do that. Don't like give me a breadcrumb and then be like, wait, there's more. It's like, dude, you should like especially like with this game, because it's like it's another like, you know, versus situation where it's like it's gonna take forever. And it's just like, just, you know,
well, even more so because they're releasing it in parts. So
yeah, so it's episodic. Like that. It seems like, where do you think episode one ends?
Well, I want to believe the footage they've been showing. It's like it's. Because where the battles have been taking place, it's like it's very early in Disc One, so it's like this is going to be a lot of episodes to this.
Yeah, I'm afraid they don't even like get to Shinra HQ in episode one, dude. Like,
yeah,
I don't even
think. Like
I was hoping that it would end at like where Disc One ends, when you like, you know, get to the sweet highway chase of like, oh man, that first part's going to end so well. But I'm like, this is all very early, yeah, like first. Hour.
Like, yeah, if it ends concerning with them like blowing up the first plant.
Oh my gosh! I'm gonna cry.
Next time on Final Fantasy VII,
the train like, so this ride game is basically back gonna home. Be
20 episodes, basically, because
it's gonna be a season.
Like, basically, because you're probably that's probably what they're going to sell it with, is like a season pass of some sort. So that way, it's like have access to the first four episodes with this season pass, and then it's like have access to the next four episodes with this season pass. It's going to be, yeah, get ready to have your wallets milked, fanboys, because it's a good thing I don't like Final Fantasy VII that much, because that's going to suck for them. Because they are definitely going to milk the crap out of this. And yeah, the fact that they even said it was episodic, when they first said they were remaking, I was like, well, rip, because that's not going to be a fun time for anybody involved. So that means you're going to be getting one game over the course of the next like 10 to 15 years. So yeah, have fun with that.
It's the real Duke Nukem Forever, because it's going to take forever to come out.
Basically.
I also saw another funny Twitter thread where like people were like, I hope the silly parts are in the game, like the slap fight between Tifa and Scarlet, or the part when Barrett is dressed like a sailor in that one part, or the part where you go on a date with Barrett, or...
Potentially.
Potentially.
I'm about to say, like, it could be the other character. Potentially, or Tifa, or Aeris. It's like the whole weird, awkward date scene with Cloud. That'll be fun. Say something, Cloud.
I'm pretty sure it's all there. Although I don't think Cloud, he's not going to be as silent this time around, I'm assuming, because, you know, they probably updated a lot of stuff. So to make him have slightly more personality, I guess. So he's not a piece of cardboard. But yeah. Yeah, good luck with that. I mean, I'll eventually get it, but it's probably going to be like once a good chunk of it has been released. So it's not like playing a 20-minute chunk and it's like, all right, well, I gotta guess, I gotta wait for the next one because you only got about 20 minutes of playtime here. So enjoy. Enjoy, guys.
Yes, there was another game that they showed. It was like Pixel. Say Riverbound. It was just like a. It appeared to be like a. It's not a brawler, although kind of. It's like a pixel, voxel style, brawler adventure type thing with co-op, probably. And then the last thing that they showed was, or not the last thing, but one, the last thing that I remember was there's a new PS4 console coming out.
Oh, that was weird too. Like
gray, gunmetal gray, I think.
It was like, yeah, here's our preview for Days of Play.
Yeah. Like, it's like, here's a new console.
What was that? Tropical, don't buy it.
Oh, man. Yeah. So the second State of Play, it's all right. I like how it takes no time. Cause I was like sitting there at 5 and I was like, okay, it's going to start. And then
it's like, it was it's already over.
Yeah, I was like, how long am I going to sit here? And it's like, oh, cool. It was like 10 minutes. I was like, all right. On to the next thing.
I mean, it would be okay if they had these formats if it was just, I guess, better stuff in it. But, I mean, I guess since it's like, since they're just starting out, it's just kind of like to get some stuff out of the way. But, I mean, I wouldn't be opposed to just having like most of the like the conferences just done Nintendo Direct style. Mm-hmm. So I don't have to sit through these people and their statistics and their earnings and crap and stuff. It's like, just show me the games and then.
Whoa. Time out about my RPG. Time the F out. The last Sony conference was just games, dude. That was like.
The last Sony conference had them move.
I'm sorry. The one before the last one was like when they were like, guess what, mother F has? All we got is games and that's how we're going to show. And then that was awesome.
Then they decided to have a tour around the world for their one after that. And then you just had to sit there and wait like an hour for them to move around. I don't have time for that.
I didn't see that one live, so I didn't worry about that one. So
I thought that one was fine too, but.
That was stupid, tropical, and you know it. So I would prefer to not have to sit through crap like that and just, you know, have. I mean, I can't. Listen, I watch these conferences specifically so I can see the games, though. I don't have time for them to be moving venues and going all over. It's like, I don't have time for this. Like,
it was a Tsushima flute.
Yeah, it's like we had a whole flute performance. I was like, what the crap is going on?
See, I think that whole thing could have been really cool, but they didn't. It feels like they didn't anticipate how long it would take to move people because, like, they did have those, like, in between segments, but they didn't do one. Like, there just didn't seem to be enough stuff in those in-between segments. I was like, this could have been cool. You know, it would be like, it's sort of an experience for the people there. And then, although I guess they don't like to move, so like none of them were happy. And then we would like get to see stuff like at home. But
they could have just did that for like a floor show or something instead of like having us experience that crap in real time during a conference. So I was like, well, this is fine, guys.
We should just like pre-recorded the entire conference. Yeah, maybe.
Because now it's just like, okay, we have to wait like 10 minutes before they all get to the next stadium or whatever it is they have set up for this nonsense. No, we have to listen to this guy play a flute because that's a thing that's happening.
Maybe
now.
That's why they left E3 is because people were just like, they're like, people don't appreciate like, our genius.
You don't deserve our art.
Well, we don't want it. We don't want it. Like, what the crap, man?
Because I
have any of our spectacle.
It's like
I felt like the year before was really amazing, and it felt like it was like that. They had the sort of same mentality. It just like logistically, it didn't work as well.
They didn't think that through.
Because like the first year,
didn't that through,
or not the first year, just like. The previous one where they announced God of War and it was like they had the live orchestra and everything. And
oh man, that was epic. It was
just like all the people hanging epic. From the ceiling.
Yeah, that was the games one. Yeah.
That one was so cool.
That was like, Days Gone, yeah, I think.
This is like, I would love all the press conferences to be like that. And yeah, like last year it seemed like it was like that, but it did not flow as well.
They did that very poorly because it's like even like at certain parts during the mid sections when they were trying to like cover for the fact this is taking forever, like even the hosts are like, well, we ran out of stuff to talk about.
Yeah. Like the they needed.
So, yeah, this is happening.
to pull it off, like it would have been way harder and they just like didn't do all the things needed to pull it off. Because if they could have pulled it off, like I think it would have been really cool.
But they had to know that they were going to be moving like a lot of people, like in a very short amount of time. So it's like you had to know that wasn't going to work because, one, now everybody's like trying to like push each other out of the way, and then some people are going to be like, "Oh, are we supposed to be moving now? Are we staying here? What's going on? What are we doing?" This is like just oh my gosh, shut up and just go to the next venue. So it's just like it was just not. That was just not fun. That was just not a fun time for me. So, yes, do not want. So, at this point, I think I'm okay. I'm okay with just like Nintendo Directs now, because now that I've seen the horror of what can happen, I'm like Nintendo, you got the right idea, because ain't nobody got time for this.
No,
the RPG was one time
more live spectacles.
That's all it takes, Tekken. That's all it takes for me. That's all it takes for me. Once you screw up, I'm like, all right, I'm done. You need to move to just your state of play style for your E3 conference too. Don't ever do this nonsense again. Don't ever do it again. You've been warned. You on notice. You're on notice. So.
No, I don't want that. So everybody, you can all pull your conferences out of E3 for all I care and just move to direct style things. Cause again, at this point, I don't need concerts and these random things going on in my conference. I when I'm watching E3, I'm watching it so I can get excited about the games that's coming on. I don't come to watch flute performances or have some random rapper come and do like a 20-minute concert that has nothing to do with the game that he's doing the concert before Microsoft. So it's like, I don't have time for this. Just give me my games. Let me be done. So like these 2 and 3 hour long conferences is just getting out of hand because it's like, okay, I get it, guys. It's like you want it to be all spectacle-y, but at the same time, it's like just a very large chunk of the day. And, you know, I could be doing other things. I could be doing other things right now. So I just don't want those things to happen.
Oh, so you didn't enjoy the dance numbers that start off the Ubisoft conference?
I did not enjoy the dance numbers that started off the Ubisoft conferences. No.
No.
Or their live demonstration of laser tag for some reason.
Every year they bring the weird man. Every year. It's like, what's the weird thing this time? Besides the dancing. Because that's been there for like 3 years at least.
And at that point they should just, we already know there's going to be a Just Dance. You just skip that. Just go do something else with that time. Because, just put it up on a little screen real quick and be like, by the way, another Just Dance is coming out. So now on with the rest of the conference, because you know it's going to happen.
On the one hand, it's like I'm hoping that their time is a charm for State of Play, but then it's like they already had their big game for the first quarter spring release, which is like what they've been doing the last couple of years. So it's like I don't know what else they've got this year unless it's something awesome for VR. Because it's like, why are they just going to coast with their momentum that they have? Because they've sold so many PS4s and just be like, whatever, dude, PS5 is what we're focused on now. So kind of worried, but I'm honestly not worried because I know of awesome games. But it's like, yeah, it's like some of, well, I guess I don't need anything.
Well, they still have Last of Us for their sake.
Yeah, I know they have like other stuff, but it's like nothing else is this year though. So it's like, what? I mean, Medieval, but you know, for their sake, I'm hoping they have like more stuff. So, just saying. I mean, that being said, all it takes is like one Death Stranding trailer. So it's like, you know, really. No, you know, they kind of have a low bar because it's like RPG just said, it's like they have that in Tsushima and Last of Us too. So it's like, you know, because Days Gone already came out and it was like the next one up in the Sony Cinematic Gaming Universe or whatever I was calling it that one time. So
even though none of them take place in the same universe.
I forgot I was calling it. No, I had a name for it. It was like the MCU, but like Sony stuff. It's not really, it's not in the same universe. It's just like, you know, awesome games from first party.
I just don't want to do it. I've been scarred.
And then I think it was during last week, they announced two new PlayStation VR bundles coming out.
What?
There's one that's coming with Blood and Truth, which comes out next week, I think. And or no, it comes out the
28th or something.
Yeah. Blood and Truth, and then Everybody's Golf VR. So that'll be $350 because it comes with the Move controllers also. And then another bundle with no Move controllers will be coming with... Crap, I can't remember. It was like Trover Saves the Universe. And
what does he?
Maybe. I can't remember what the other game is. But essentially, like, that one doesn't come with the Move controllers because the games don't require them. Let me see what the other game was.
I was thinking of all like the things that would be missing if it like wasn't in front of an audience and anything, but they could still like do the thing where it's like they have like one more thing, because it's like you could just have like a question mark on the like the screen before the video plays of like, we've got the secret surprise trailer, so they could still like have the magic of like, you know, surprise.
The other bundle is Trover Saves the Universe and Five Nights at Freddy's VR for $299. Yeah, so the second bundle comes out May 28th, and the first bundle comes out May 31st. Pretty soon. Apparently they've sold a lot of VR bundles.
Yay.
Well, they did. I mean, I guess they plan on supporting it, so.
Yeah. PlayStation VR is doing okay. And now we know that the headset will be compatible with the next PlayStation.
So it means you don't have to throw it away.
Huzzah!
Via PlayStation 5 games, eh?
Yes. And then finally there is a new Nintendo Direct. I think it's tomorrow. It's going to be about Super Mario Maker 2.
That was today.
That was today?
Yeah, they already did it.
Oh. All right. I didn't see it, so I don't know what it's about.
They just showed off a lot of the new styles. I mean, apparently there's supposed to be one left that they haven't showed because I guess they wanted to save it. Uh-huh. But then they were in like playable characters and all these other things and changing like the tools and the day and night cycles and all this other nonsense. So, yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Well, never mind then. My last news story was the VR bundles.
Good job.
Yeah, so that's the news.
Okie dokie. So yeah, check us out. AimlessBubblesy.com. Or AimlessBubblesy. This is my tropical to this part. there's a dead air, so I took it.
Yes.
AimlessBubblesy, AimlessPodcast.com, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, wherever else the F we're at on the internet and stuff.
He's everywhere.
Anything to say before we sign off RPG?
Black Mirror.
Anything to say before we sign off Tropical?
Thanks to Tumelo for the theme music. And yeah, hopefully we'll be back next week.
See ya until you see your, yes, you're here from us again. You know, so I'll see you right now. Sign off.